Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I would like to welcome everybody again to another segment of the Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair. And today is kind of a heavy topic for us today. I mean, it really shouldn't be that heavy, you know, but being that a lot of us don't realize this, and it's right there in the Bible, you know. And one thing about the enemy is the Bible declares that, you know, God says that his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And what I'm noticing now is what's really killing us in our walk with God is by the lack of knowledge that we have. And, you know, but now is the time. I've heard so many people say this, and, you know, the Lord has given me this word, too, that this is the hour of apocalypse. Now, apocalypse don't mean what everybody thinks it means. If you look up the definition of the word apocalypse, it means unveiling of the truth. That's what it means. You know, don't mean that the world will come to an end. Amen. So, everybody that's expecting all this old doom and gloom and God don't get no glory, you know, something is wrong with that. Amen. We need to change our theology, because one thing about even end-time prophecy in the Bible, you know, it's been so misunderstood, and it's been interpreted according to man's interpretation theologically. Amen. And we need to begin to seek the Spirit of God concerning the interpretation of what God says in his word, because a lot of stuff that they're saying are going to happen, you know, according to how they perceive it to be, is not going to happen that way. It's going to happen a totally different way. And understand that biblical prophecy is for us, you know, to know that in the end we are victorious, even though when all these things take place, and then best believe the kingdom of God is going to be standing strong and advancing. Even if the world crumbles around us, you know, the kingdom is what's going to stand. The kingdom, you see what I'm saying? It's the kingdom of God that's going to subdue all the other kingdoms of the world, because the Bible specifically says that it is the kingdom of this world that will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and we will reign forever, right? That's exactly what the Bible says. So this is the hour here that God is going to begin to cause us to reign in the earth. Despite what's going on around us, despite what the enemy trying to throw against us, despite even the laws of our government try to oppress and suppress the gospel and the advancement of the kingdom, or it really don't matter if the government tries to get us to compromise in order to get, you know, the results that we want or the benefits that we think that we might need. Come on now. The problem is that everything that we need is in the kingdom, but we're looking to every other source and every other place except the kingdom of God. Amen. So now we must begin to align our minds, because understand this, that today I'm going to be talking about our identity in the kingdom of God. And the thing about it is, a lot of people do not know who they are in God. You know, that's why there's such an identity crisis now in the church, you know, because, you know, a lot of people are ignorant to the fact that they are a royal priesthood. Come on now. And there's a lot that comes with that now. And I'm going to get into that a little bit tonight. But I'm noticing now that every style and every fad that comes out, the world, the church is quick to grab, you know, the things that are in the world. Amen. And every style of dress that comes out, you know, we so quick to hop on it. You know, I gave this example one time, and I'm going to give it again. Just like when, you know, the jeans with the blazers came out, you know, and, you know, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, you know. You know, some people actually, you know, you know, they look good in it. You see what I'm saying? They look good in it. I'm not knocking the jeans with the blazers. But when the world started rocking that, then next thing you know, here we come with the jeans and the blazers. Amen. Understand that we're not supposed to follow the world, and that's just an example of how quick we are to follow everything of the world. Amen. It's to the point now that a lot of the church is starting to embrace the culture of the world and try to bring it into the church and try to use it as an avenue to reach the youth, when that's not the method in which God has taught us according to his word. First of all, he says, be not conformed to this world, amen, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God. So we have to begin to know our identity. And when you know your identity, you'll begin to walk different. You begin to talk different. You're not going to want to be like everybody else. You're not going to want to be like the next person that comes out. Come on now. A lot of preachers have identity problems. That's why they want to be like Bishop Jackson. They want to be like the Eddie Longs and all these big-time mega church pastors, when God has called you to be your own unique person in God. You notice, especially even in Baptist churches, everybody that most of them, they're preachers, they hoop. You see what I'm saying? And they hoop just like they pastor. No, I want to deliver the word the way that God want me to deliver it, in the own style that God has allowed me to deliver it in. So we have an identity crisis, and I know that some folks have said that, and it might sound old, but it's very much a reality today. And we must begin to know who we are in God, and once we begin to walk in it, then we'll see the results that we're supposed to see. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, the problem that we have is our priorities are jacked up. See, think about it is, see, when Jesus first started ministering, okay, and John the Baptist, the first thing that they proclaimed, the first message that they preached is this: the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you need to repent. That's the first message. Come on now, you ain't got to put John the Baptist in. Let's talk about Jesus. Since he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's the one that we're supposed to be patterning ourselves after. Come on. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the word repent, you know, a lot of people put their own little twist to the definition of the word repent. Repent means to change your mindset. That's it. It has nothing to do with confessing your sins, even though confession and repentance can go together. However, they are not the same thing. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What he was telling them is change your mindset, change the way you think. You have to come out of that law mindset and allow your mind to be realigned with the new order and the dominion that I'm establishing in the earth for my Father. That's pretty much what he was saying in so many words. Amen. So understand this, that if our Lord and Savior preached the kingdom, and that's the first thing that he preached, then we ought to be preaching the same thing. Now, what is the kingdom? Let me define what the kingdom is real quick, okay? First of all, we know that the kingdom of God has nothing to do with the natural. It has nothing to do with what you can physically see, what you can touch. It has nothing to do with that. The Bible proves over and over again that the kingdom of God is spiritual. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is a kingdom that you cannot see with your natural eyes, but it's very much more of a reality than what you see with your natural eyes. And I'm going to take you to Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek ye first. See that word first? That first means above all else, above everything else, above your houses, your cars, and your material things. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? Because, see, we love to talk about all these things and we quote these scriptures out of context. Let's go up a little bit. These are the things that he was talking about. At verse 25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? Come on now. And the body more than raiment? Amen. Come on now. It says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are they not much better? Are you not much better than they? Now, something caught my eye. The Holy Spirit really quickened me when I read this type of text and verses of Scripture, because a lot of people say certain things about the kingdom of God. They say the kingdom of God is sowing and is reaping. If you sow, then you being in the kingdom of God. You got ridiculous teachings out there like that. The kingdom, it says right here that even the birds don't sow or reap. Just the fact that they, under God's dominion, God is obligated to take care of them, right? So if you are in the kingdom, it's certain things that's already entitled to you, and it's not based upon whether you sow or you reap. It's just some things that are just entitled to you. Now, don't get me wrong. Sowing, you know, giving and receiving, all that stuff, it's a principle in the kingdom of God concerning that, okay? I'm not saying don't sow, all right? But I'm saying your sowing does not determine whether you're in the kingdom or not, because you got plenty of folks that go to church and sow. Come on now, but they're not in the will of God. You see what I'm saying? And see, just because I want to reiterate one other thing too, just because you go to church don't mean you're in the kingdom. See, Jesus didn't come to establish a church. He said he came to establish a kingdom. Come on now. And see, we need to be trying to build and establish what God said for us to build. And I'm going to get into more details about that in a little bit. I'm getting a little too ahead of ahead of myself, amen. But I see some more people than I came online, amen. God bless y'all. It says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why taking thought for raiment, consider the lilies of the field. So he's giving more examples. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Uh-oh. That's the problem. See, the reason why a lot of us, we can't move into things of the kingdom is because we don't got no faith. Because understand that it requires faith to, my God, it requires faith to even move in the grace of God and be established in the kingdom of God. You see what I'm saying? And I taught a little bit about that before, and I'm not going to go back towards that unless the Holy Spirit leads me to. But understand, what a lot of people are lacking is faith in the right thing. See, a lot of us have faith. We got faith in the church system, but we don't have faith in the kingdom of God. Come on now. That's why certain things and even certain principles are not working for us, because our faith is directed in the wrong direction. Amen. And it says, wherefore if God, okay, I already read that. Therefore, take no thought, saying what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, withal shall we be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So it sounds like to me that he's talking about your basic necessities, your clothes, your shelter, everything. Let's break it down in modern day terms. Don't seek after how your bills gonna get paid. Don't seek after how your needs gonna be met. Don't seek after how you gonna get your transportation back and forth to this place. Because understand this, the Gentiles seek after all these things. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, then that what you need is going to be added unto you. See, our priorities are jacked up, and that's why we're not receiving nothing. That's why that's why we're continually to walk in lacking, you know, all these things like that. And understand too that, you know, when the Lord began to reveal this to me, you see what I'm saying, there's certain principles that I'm applying in my own life because I didn't realize, you know, I know the kingdom was a priority, but I didn't really get it into my spirit until recently when the Lord started dealing with me. He said, this is why my people are not receiving what they need to receive, because they're not in the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? Their hearts are in the right place, but their priorities are not.
Amen. Amen.
So it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Your basic necessities. So stop going to them debt-free conferences. Come on now, because they got a lot of them. Stop going to them debt-free conferences and buy all them debt-free books, wasting your money. That's money that you can keep. Buy you a hamburger or something with. Amen. I'm serious. I'm telling you. I done sold into every ministry that I thought I could. I done sold in the prosperity ministry. Now, this is when I was young and immature in the things of God, amen. And understand, I'm still learning some things even now, but, you know, I'm nowhere near where I was, amen. And, some folks, man, they sow into all these prosperity ministries and these, to get a red handkerchief and a green handkerchief and miracle water and man, Lord have mercy, I hate to even mention this, but they got prophetic soap now. Amen. And when you bathe in this soap, you know, you're gonna receive such a prophetic revelation and, you know, all this other garbage. You see what I'm saying? People seek all this stuff because understand that when you seek first the kingdom of God, you don't need all this garbage that they got out here now. You see what I'm saying? Our priorities are jacked up. So now we know that the kingdom must be a priority. What is the kingdom? Because, see, the kingdom of God is very simple, but people complicate it with big theological words, and, you know, they try to make it so hard to get into, just like the Pharisees when Jesus told them. He said that you are not in the kingdom, and you make it hard for even others to enter into the kingdom too. So understand that, you know, we must know what the kingdom is. What is the kingdom? All you got to do is look at the word kingdom. You got king and you got dominion. The dominion of a king, the domain of a king. Where the king is dominant, that's his kingdom. It's just plain as simple as that, right? So now, there are certain benefits in being in the being under the dominion of God. Understand this, that when you be in a kingdom, in a natural kingdom, in order to be a citizen of that kingdom, you got to be born into that kingdom. You have to be born into that kingdom. Just like, and I gave this example, I'm going to give it again. People from here, if they get pregnant over here but end up going overseas and having a baby, their child is a kingdom, I mean, is a citizen of whatever nation or kingdom that child was born in. You see what I'm saying? And it's the same thing here. You see? So in the kingdom of God, being that the kingdom is spiritual, it says that in order to see the kingdom of God, you have to be what? Born again, right? So understand, Nicodemus asked like the most ridiculous question. He said, so you got to be born again of your mother's womb. What'd you do, go back in your mother's womb? That is impossible, you dummy. You see what I'm saying? Lord forgive me for calling a man a dummy. But that was a dumb question. You see what I'm saying? And understand this. Understand this, he already missed it because he should have known that Jesus won't talk about going back in your mother's womb. And you're a ruler of the Jews and you don't know this. You're supposed to know God and you don't know this, Jesus told him. And he said, no, understand this, you must be born again. You're born again of the spirit. That which is of flesh is flesh, but that which is of spirit is spirit. So you must be born again of the spirit. So I mean, So what do you look like when you're born again of the spirit? What does that mean? See, because when spirit is in operation, flesh is done away with. Amen. That means when you're born again, when you're truly born again in the spirit, that means that your life is no longer governed by the flesh. And see, understand, flesh is governed by fleshly things and natural things. Flesh is going to always look at what it looks like in the natural, my God. So if your eyes is on fleshly things, you must begin to ask yourself, am I born again? Am I going backwards? You know, understand this, that, you know, Jesus had no worries, okay? Jesus had no worries about how his needs were going to be provided for. No, you know, he was not walking around with silk on and a royal robe like, you know, some of these money preachers teach. However, you know, even though he looked at like the common people, he still didn't lack nothing. So if he didn't lack nothing, then why some of us are lacking some things as well? Because the kingdom is not priority. The dominion of God. Understand this. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to turn to it. Luke 17. I'm going to turn to Luke 17 real quick. I'm going to turn to Luke 17. Try to take my time with this. I know I ain't going to have enough time to really get everything out. Amen. But Luke 17, I'm going to start at verse 20, and I'm going to end at verse 21. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, come on now, when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them. Understand it. See, the Pharisees was already looking for a natural sign because they was carnal folks. It's amazing how many, see, the Pharisees represent carnal fleshly folks in the church. Yeah, because, see, the Pharisees claim that they know God so much. My goodness. They claim that they know God so much, but they still carnal. They couldn't even perceive or discern who was in front of them. You see, and they missed Jesus because they try to see him according to the flesh. That's another teaching. That's another teaching. Amen. So it said they demanded the Pharisees. He was demanded by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, and he answered, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." So that automatically cancels out that the kingdom is your business, the kingdom is your house, the kingdom is your car. Understand that, you know, I'm not against businesses. I believe that that's an avenue in which, you know, the kingdom of God can be advanced through. I believe businesses can be used to advance the kingdom of God, but the kingdom itself is not your business. It has nothing to do with anything that is natural, anything that you can see with your eyes, anything that you can touch with your hands. So the kingdom of God don't come with natural things. Jesus already said that. Come on now. It says the kingdom cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. So we understand that a kingdom is the rule and the dominion of a king, right? So he said, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. And see, understand this. Within you is supposed to affect what's around you. Can I say that again? Within you is supposed to affect what's around you. See, the Bible speaks about the anointing of the Holy Ghost abiding in us. My God. Paul said, I have this treasure that is in what? Earthen vessels. The Bible says that we are the temple of the we are the temple of God, where the Spirit of God dwells, and we are not to what? Defile it. Understand this. If the dominion of God rests in you, then your life is governed solely by the King, Jesus. Because, see, you've allowed yourself now to come under the dominion of God. See what I'm saying? And now the kingdom of God rests on the inside of you, is governing you. Come on now. He has dominion in you. And before you can take dominion in the earth for God, he got to have dominion in you. But the problem is that a lot of folks, God don't have dominion in them. But the whole time they talk about kingdom, kingdom, we're going to take over for the kingdom. We're going to take the city. We're going to take the city. And God don't even have you on his side. You too busy in your flesh. And understand that flesh is against spirit. So when you're in your flesh, you're really working against God. And if you stand in long enough, you're going to be an enemy of God. You can't always see things according to the natural eye. It'll get you tripped up. The Pharisees missed Jesus like that, and they swore up and down that it was right. Understand that the Pharisees twisted scripture too. Come on now. And a lot of folks twisted scripture to try to prove their fleshly perspective. I'll put it that way. They manipulate scripture to try to prove their fleshly perspective. But a lot of times, scriptures are not even quoted in the right context. They're not even taught in the right context. Just like this scripture, my God shall supply my every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But understand that what caused the man of God to even speak that? Because that church at the time was the only church at that time they really sold into the Apostle Paul's mission. So therefore, being that they sold into the man of God, God called the man of God to release that blessing over them. See, we be quoting scripture and claiming for us, and we don't even qualify for the script. We don't even qualify for that kind of blessing. And then we wonder why the word don't work for us, because you're doing it in the wrong context. Your understanding of it is just zero to none. It's a perverted understanding. So we wonder why stuff don't work for us is because we don't have the understanding of that scripture. Now, if you do what that scripture was, you do what that church did, and sow into the man of God, then you might be able to quote that over your life. Amen. I mean, I'm just saying that's just one of many examples. So we're going to have to really, really begin to really get this thing in a perspective. Amen. We're really going to have to get this thing straight. Amen. Because you know, we're talking about this and that, and then we blame God and be like, God is a liar. And God, like, no, I'm not a liar. You just being taught wrong. Amen.
Amen.
And I had to get all this down before I even get into the meat of what I want to talk about. You know, the Holy Ghost just led me to go there. Amen. So we must understand that the kingdom of God has to be top priority in our life. He says, seek first the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? Seek first the will, the ways of God. Understand that a kingdom is governed by the will of the king. Amen. A kingdom. Understand that the words that the king speak in any kingdom is law. So when you seek the kingdom, there's a lot of things that come with the kingdom. Every kingdom has a law. Every kingdom has laws. Every kingdom has a culture. Come on now. Every kingdom has a culture. And see, one thing I'm noticing is that being that we have no identity in the kingdom of God is causing us to begin to embrace the culture of the world. Like I explained earlier, you know, we embrace every kind of style and every fad and everything that comes out and every new style of dress and every style of music. You know, everything the world does. I'm going to give you a prime example. And the Holy Ghost just quickened this to me. Amen. And I never thought about this, but, you know, now they're merging rap music and rock music, right? They're merging rap and rock together. You know, now you hear a lot of rap songs that got rock star beats to it. Now all of a sudden you got Christian rappers doing the same thing, mimicking the world. You see what I'm saying? And then it's bad enough they already embraced the hip-hop culture into Christian rap. They already, because understand that hip-hop is a culture itself. It's not just music. It is a culture. It is a culture. It is a belief system. It is a lifestyle that comes with that belief system. Come on now. These are some of the things that make up a culture. So we're beginning to embrace all of this. And then, matter of fact, a couple years back, you know, I read on the internet where, you know, folks like Caden Jones and all them was meeting up with the leading fathers of hip hop, and you know, they were going to dialogue and, you know, all this other garbage. And then, you know, if you read on some of the Facebooks and MySpace profiles, you see that, you know, where they said who inspires you, they will name some of these secular artists. This is because we have no kingdom identity. We just walking according to the flesh, going with every wind that blows, being blown, tossed to and fro. Just believe anything anybody say. Any new thing that come out, we hop on it. Come on now. Understand this. When you're confident in who you are for real, you don't have to copy what nobody else do. Okay, I'll say that again. But the church has become a copycat. You see what I'm saying? When God is trying to get us to a place in him, he's trying to get us in the kingdom. And then he's trying to get us to a place in him where we're able to walk and demonstrate, you know, the kingdom of God. But we got to get it in us first. Amen. So God is in this hour. He's calling us to become kingdom-minded. The problem is that we become so church-minded, religious-minded. Amen. We just become so religious-minded. And that's what's causing us to lose. That's what's causing us not to be able to really understand it. The apostles back in the Bible days, they took over cities. I'm going to just be honest with you. They took it over. They caused a very big disturbance in the city. And even out of that, folks got saved. Amen. Apostle Law Campbell, I see you just came on. God bless you. Amen. The apostles in the Bible, they cause trouble. Matter of fact, one scripture mentions that these are the men that turned the world upside down. The known world, their known world today, back then, they turned the world upside down. But we don't have no apostles like that now that will go on a region and establish a church in less than no time and get about 3,000 or 5,000 members in one day. And the reason why is because a lot of them are not even kingdom-minded. God is getting me there, too. He's getting all of us there. Amen. He's getting all of us there. Now, this is the hour to do, but we must understand what it is that we're doing. Because if we don't, then we're going to end up falling flat on our face. Amen. So, kingdom is priority. Now, I want to get into what it is that we're supposed to be doing in the kingdom. First, we're supposed to be building. The problem is we've been trying to build the church. Jesus said, he's the one that's going to build a church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and against the hell will not prevail against it. So he said, he's going to build the church. Our job is to build the kingdom. But the thing is that we're trying to build the church. We're trying to do what Jesus is supposed to be doing when we need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing in the first beginning, and that's building the kingdom. Amen. I remember the Lord spoke to me when, and the Lord is leading me to go here. He spoke to me earlier today. You know what the Lord said to me? He said that we are so busy trying to live in the world when we need to direct our focus on living in the kingdom. Can I say that again? I'm going to say that again. This is what the Lord spoke to me himself, and he spoke it very clear. He said that we are so busy trying to live in this world where we need to direct our focus on living in the kingdom. See, understand this. The world is supposed to be dependent upon us because of who we are. Can I say that again? Because the Bible says that God has made us kings and priests unto our God. And I'm going to get into that kingly anointing a little bit too. Because, see, understand this, that we be so, understand that the priestly anointing is for the house of God. the priestly anointing. That's for anything pertaining to the house of God. But the kingdom.
It's real cold.
Hello? Who was that? Amen.
I don't know.
Okay. The king, see, the priestly anointing did with the house of God, but the kingly anointing, see, one thing about it is anything outside of the house of God, that's for the kingly anointing. The kings went to war. They set structure. They set order. You see what I'm saying? They took dominion. And see, that's the kind of anointing that God is calling us to walk in this hour. The kingly anointing. Understand this, that when Jesus' apostles were being disciples, they were disciples before they were apostles, amen? And we got to become disciples before we become anything that we try to be in ministry, amen? But Jesus spent his whole ministry telling his disciples about what? The kingdom. All their training and all their teaching and all of that kind of stuff is for the establishment of the kingdom. Before the disciples got released into their apostleship, Jesus made sure that they first understood the kingdom. See, before we start trying to become apostles and prophets and all that other stuff, we need to understand what the kingdom of God is and begin to move in the things of the kingdom. Amen? We really need to understand that. Amen. And understand that the main struggle Jesus had with his disciples was their carnal mindset and their lack of faith. Yeah, I'll say that again. See, because it's going to take some extreme faith to move in this thing here. Them apostles and them prophets, they live by faith. They live by their belief in God. I'm going to tell you something. Either God is real or he's not. Either he's a liar or he speaks the truth. And I never known him to be a liar, not one day in my life. Amen. If God said it, if God structured it that way, we're going to do it according to the way God structured it, and we're going to experience the results that God wants us to experience. Come on now. See, understand this. God has called us to walk in our kingship in this hour. Kingship is always a birthright. When you become born again, my God, see, you're born a king. Every king is born a king. They're born into a royal bloodline. You see what I'm saying? Now, God don't go by necessarily our physical lineages, but he goes by how he has made and created us to be in the spirit. So when we're born again, come on now, we begin to step into our birthright. And understand this. I'm going to turn to Galatians 4. I'm going to go there real quick. Amen. I'm going to go there. Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to 3, the 29th chapter, then I'm going to go into the 4th chapter. Chapter 3, verse 29, it says, "If ye be Christ, then ye Abraham's seed and heirs," that's a kingdom term, "heirs according to the promise." And then it goes into verse 1 in chapter 4. It says, "Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, giveth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord or master of all," right? "But under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." Understand that you are born who you are, but understand that there are certain things that God is not going to release you until you get to a place of maturity. But however, it's some things that's already entitled to you already because of who you are. Oh, y'all didn't just catch that. My God. I caught it. Amen. I caught it. It says, "Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if thou be a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Look at those kingdom terms now. So it's through Christ you become an heir. And as I recall, there's a scripture that says that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. See, God shares his glory with no man, but Christ said, look, Father, I share my glory with them. My God. So when you become born again, there's a certain status that you have obtained. And there's certain things that are entitled to you, come on now, because of who you are when you first come in. But see, we don't teach believers their authority in Christ. We just teach them, you know, well, it's going to be all right on the old by and, you know, when we all get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. But God is trying to get us to a place where we become kingdom-minded to where we want to do something on the earth for Christ. Amen. Jesus told his disciples to pray one of these things. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told them that on his earthly ministry. So understand that a kingdom mindset understands that, look, I'm trying to impact something in the earth for God. Come on now. There's going to come a point in time where the kingdom of God is going to infiltrate the governments of this world. Come on now. The kingdom of God is going to infiltrate the entertainment and the media system of this world. And it's going to shut down a lot of this garbage. But first we have to get into that mindset. God has to renew the mindset of the people all over again because they've been so indoctrinated with this old watered-down, weak Christianity message. Amen. Thing about it is, see, our messages are weak. It don't move nothing. It don't stir nothing. It don't cause the people to move in faith. Some of the greatest people that were before us that moved in miracles had strong faith. Smith Wigglesworth, that's all he talked about. This man raised the dead and everything. Matter of fact, they called him the apostle of faith. But see, the thing about it is our faith is in the wrong thing. That's why we don't see the results that we should see. If our faith was redirected towards the kingdom of God and we actually sought to really be in the kingdom for real, then the miracles, the deliverances, people would be healed on a daily basis. People would be delivered on a daily basis. We'll be able to go out and do street ministry and go into a crack house and see all of them delivered and slain in the spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered and saved. Come on now. But we so church-minded, you see what I'm saying? God got to get all that little churchy stuff out of us and get kingdom-minded, get us kingdom-minded. That's what's causing us to lose our mindset. That's why the first thing Jesus said, was repent, change your mindset for the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. But in order to receive it, your mindset has to change. We keep thinking according to the world. We keep thinking according to the religious system that's set up today. And understand, it is a false religion. It is not real. See, because understand, religion means worship. Religion is not bad itself. You see what I'm saying? It's just that they have perverted it. Because the Bible speaks about, you know, whether for a person's religion is pure or not. See, we be calling out the wrong demon. We be talking about, come out, you religious spirit. No, it is a spirit of false religion. Yeah. Because religion means worship. That's all it means. It don't mean nothing else. So you can have a pure worship.
Amen.
Because understand that you must worship God in spirit and in truth. That means you can't be in the flesh when you worship God, when you live for God. Amen. You can't be in the flesh. You got to be in the spirit and walking and established in the truth. Amen. So there's a right way to worship and there's a wrong way to worship. Amen. So in this hour, I mean, God is really, really, really getting us prepared to advance the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. It's not about nothing else. If we get our minds off the houses, the cars, trying to get by in this life, come on now, and get our minds focused on the kingdom, and you'll be a vessel that the kingdom of God can be established through and move through. Understand this. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. That's what he said, right? The kingdom of God is when heaven invades earth, okay? The government of heaven invades earth and shuts down the rulership and the dominion of the enemy. Because wherever the enemy reigns, sickness and demonic oppression is always going to be there. Come on now. That's his government. Those are the attributes of his government. And I'm really going to drop some heavy stuff on y'all in a second. But when we come as vessels of God, representatives of the kingdom of God, and we begin to demonstrate, you know, the things that God has placed in us, you see what I'm saying, the kingdom, understand that, you know, we're setting up the government of God because in that person's life that we minister deliverance to, because now they have a clear head to think because that demonic spirit that's been tormenting their mind is gone. That sickness that's been plaguing their body is gone. They're totally healed and restored. The kingdom of God has come. The dominion of God has come. Because understand that the Bible says that the kingdom is not in meat. Once again, it's not in what you eat or what you can touch, see, taste, or whatever. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. So understand that when a person is oppressed by the devil, that's not right to stand with God, and they don't have peace or joy in the Holy Ghost. But when we begin to minister unto them and minister what God has given us, because the Bible says freely you have received, freely give. So when we begin to minister to them what God has given us and God shows up, come on now, then the rulership and the dominion that Satan has over their life has been diminished. Come on now. It has been expelled. So now God can set up his rule and his reign and his rulership in that person's life and begin to do wonders in that person's life also. Amen. We got to get our priorities straight. The kingdom ought to be our priority. Come on now.
Yeah.
The kingdom, man. We got to get this thing right, man, because the world is dying. Come on now.
Yeah.
Understand this. The need of the world is the kingdom. They don't need another mega church with no power. We got enough of them. Most of them that's up now don't got no power. Come on now.
Thank you, God.
That's why they still got folks in their church in wheelchairs, and I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. Jesus. They got folks in their church in wheelchairs, man, sitting there 30 years.
My God.
But you're supposed to be Bishop so-and-so with all this authority. But you ain't have the authority to make that spirit of infirmity loose that lady. They got that lady in that chair. Come on now. You got ministers on your board that's sick. The devil is a liar. That ain't kingdom. That sound like a demon to me. I told God, I said, I don't want no sick folks in my church. The church that you called me to oversee, I don't want no sick folks in there. I don't believe in it. That's like against my religion. Demon-possessed folks, now you can come in that way. You can come in that way. But according to the word of God, they're not supposed to leave that way. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in the earth. So we're supposed to be moving like he did. Jesus said that those that believe upon him, the same works that he do, they shall do in greater. We haven't even got
My
to the
God.
Greater works yet because there's a whole, we're not even doing the works that he did. He said, the works that
My
I
God.
Do, you shall do. We haven't even got to that place yet. Come on now. And see, the apostles had so much favor upon their life, even in the midst of their persecution, even in the midst of their in jail and being beaten and all, they have so much favor upon their lives. Why? Because understand, when you're in the kingdom, you live under open heaven. My God. You live under open heaven. And God is always working on your behalf all the time. You see, My God, those apostles had so much favor with God. They didn't lack nothing. And see, because their priorities were in the right place. The Bible tells us that the kingdom ought to be our priority. But the kingdom is not a lot of folks' priority, and that's why a lot of folks are losing. Amen.
My God.
Come on now. This is a serious thing. And see, the reason being is because understand that when you know who you are and you're confident in who you are, your faith builds up and you begin to believe that you can walk this thing and begin to walk it in, and God will show up. I'm going to tell you something. Since I've been grasping this thing for real, God has really been showing up. I've been seeing him show up. Amen. And I know that as I continue to walk in my faith and continue to increase and build, my God, I'm right now I'm expecting God to do wonders within this week. Ah, geez.
Amen.
My God. And when we begin to grasp the fact that we are actually a royal people with royal privileges, come on now, in the kingdom of God, come on now, and we begin to walk in that thing, understand this, the Bible says he has made us kings and priests, right? Kings and priests. I'm not going to deal with the priestly part because God is trying to get us established in the kingly part right now because we got everything with the house of God down packed. We know how to worship, whether it's real or it's fake, we know how to do it. We know how to come to church. We know everything about church. You see what I'm saying? And nothing about kingdom. You know, so God's trying to get us in the kingdom right now. Amen. The Bible says that we are made kings and priests unto God, right? Kings and priests. Kings and priests. Now, kings outrank princes, right? Kings birth forth princes. Notice, God never calls Satan a king. I'm about to mess y'all up. God never called Satan a king. He always said the prince of the power of the air. Oh, Jesus. The prince of the power of the air. See, Satan, man, we outrank him already. So what he has to do is trick us. What he has to do is trick us into relinquishing our authority. Like he did with Adam in the garden. Because he told Adam, come on now, to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over all earth, over everything that's on earth. Adam had dominion. So he had dominion over the whole world. See, that was the kingship status that Adam had. And see, understand that a lot of people who are not spiritual don't know this, but we have a garment in the spirit realm that we have, that we wear. A lot of people have even seen, because first of all, understand this before I say that. Your attire or your appearance back then showed who you were. Well, it's the same way now. Certain companies at a company, amen, they have certain uniforms that they wear, and you'd be like, hey, you work at Chick-fil-A, or hey, you work at Kinko's, or hey, you work at this. Or you in the army, you can tell a person in the army because they have the fatigue. So understand that the way that you are garmented, it shows who you are, my God. So in the spirit, being that this is a spiritual thing, the way that you are dressed in the spirit shows who you are in the spirit. I've had people prophesy to me certain stuff, or tell me what they see in the spirit realm about what I had on. And one person even told me that they seen a crown on my head or whatnot. You see what I'm saying? All of us walk in a kingly anointing. You see what I'm saying? My God. But see, only spiritual people can understand that. See, because we've been taught natural stuff. We've been taught all kind of little, old fleshly stuff, you know, based upon man's interpretation instead of revelation concerning the Word of God, that we can't even grasp that. What I just said, it would mess some folks up right now. They probably think I'm a cuckoo, and they probably won't listen to this segment ever again. Come on now.
My God.
So understand this, that we have garments in the spirit. And honestly, I believe the reason why Adam, my God, even though he was naked in the natural, but he wasn't naked in the spirit. And I believe that he was so close with God, and he was so walking in the spirit before all this stuff happened, before the serpent tricked him and before Satan used the serpent to trick him and everything like that, trick Eve, and then Eve got him to eat the fruit and forbidden fruit and all that other stuff. I believe that he didn't realize his nakedness until he lost his authority. See, because what you have on displays your authority. It shows what your rank is. You see what I'm saying? It shows who you are. And Adam, I strongly believe that Adam was clothed with royal apparel in the spirit. Come on now.
My God.
And he was so in the spirit that I believe that even though he was naked naturally, he wasn't naked spiritually, and he was so in the spirit that he felt what he had on in the spirit. So his nakedness in the natural didn't bother him because he didn't walk according to the natural, but he walked according to the spirit. Some folks just missed what I just said. My God.
My God.
Did y'all just catch, those of y'all on the line, did y'all just catch what I just said?
Amen.
I'm serious because folks are not getting this. You see, and I'm laying a foundation here. You see, and understand that through Adam's disobedience, no, it wasn't disobedience, his rebellion, because he did the exact opposite of what God said. Adam rebelled against a strict order of God, because understand that even though Adam walked in kingly authority, understand that God was emperor. You see, emperor, and I heard a man of God say this one time too, and it rang so true. God is actually like an emperor. Because, see, an emperor owns and conquers whole worlds. And, see, Rome back then conquered the whole known world, literally. The whole world that there was that was known to them. And Rome had certain kings and their kingdoms under them, Caesar. Caesar had other kings and other kingdoms under his authority. You see, so that's the same way God is. God have other kings, come on now, including Jesus. And Jesus the King of Kings. So he's king over us as kings, amen. But the head of Christ is the Father. So Father, the Heavenly Father has an imperial status because he's over Jesus, and Jesus is over us. And being that he's over Jesus and Jesus over us, he's over us too. Come on now. So the Heavenly Father has an imperial status. See, we got to begin to really see it for what it is.
Amen.
See, a lot of folks can't grasp this. They can't grasp it because they still have a church mindset. Their mind has not been renewed in a certain area. Come on now.
This one.
My Jesus. Amen. I see you, Sister Rhonda. God bless you. God bless you. I see you on the chat board. God bless you. Amen. So we have to begin to walk in our identity, knowing that we're king. If you know you something, you're going to walk in it.
Okay.
You know, if you're a general manager of a store, can't nobody tell you not the general manager. You're going to perform the duties of a general manager, right?
Amen.
And you're not going to let nobody overstep your authority either. You're not going to let your supervisors that's under you, come on now, and your employees that's under you talk to you crazy, huh?
Jesus.
Because their badge Your badge say who it is. Say who you are, right? Your badge say who you are. So that's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Should no devil in hell, under hell, you see what I'm saying, over hell on earth, you see what I'm saying, no devil should talk to you crazy. Now, I'm not talking about human beings now because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not talking about a fleshly thing. So if somebody mouth off at you or whatnot, that's not that person, amen? So don't go off on that person and, you know, tell them, yeah, you're a devil, this and that. No, you gotta know what you're dealing with. And when you know what you're dealing with, you'll know how to handle it accordingly once God gives you the wisdom on how to handle it. You know, some of us, we just do some stupid stuff, you know, crazy stuff, and we end up losing a brother. You know, don't do that. Amen. I'm not saying talk crazy. You know, but however, when you're addressing, you know, the kingdom of darkness, you know what I'm saying, that stuff shouldn't even affect you. See, because Satan is a prince, I'm a king. Some folks still ain't grasped that part yet.
Amen.
Satan is outranked in the spirit, for real.
Jesus.
You see, but his job is to blind our minds, to keep us blind to our authority, because once we begin to grasp who we are in God, then he knows that he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
See, he had to trick Adam. He had to trick Adam out of his authority. He had to trick Adam and Eve out of their authority.
Yeah.
And when Adam lost the crown, because he began now to walk in the flesh, he realized his nakedness. And understand that when we rebel against God, my God, that is like the worst thing we can do. That is like a straight fleshly move from hell.
Jesus.
Because see, you can only rebel against God when you're walking according to the flesh. When you get in your flesh, that's when you rebel against God. Come on. That's a whole nother teaching within itself. You see, it's so much I can dig from that one statement, but I'm gonna try to stay on course. Amen. But when you rebel against God, that goes to show right there that you've jumped into the flesh, and because Adam jumped into the flesh, he lost the crown that was upon his head, and Satan picked it up. The Bible says death reigned from Adam to Moses. You see what I'm saying? You don't really see nobody from Adam to Moses really going forth in demonstration until you got to Moses. Come on now. Moses went forth in the demonstration of God. You see what I'm saying? He really was the first person that I really seen, according to my observation, the first person to really demonstrate the kingdom in its fullness. Yeah. Moses possessed great authority, I'm telling you. Moses possessed great authority in God. And the death reigned from Adam to Moses. See, Satan was walking around with a crown that he wasn't even qualified to wear. Uh-oh, come on. And he would love for you to drop yours so he could try to wear yours too.
Hmm.
Satan is after your crown. Can I say that again?
Amen.
Satan is after your crown.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. He's after your crown. So the question is you going to give it to him? I know I ain't giving him mine. Especially after this revelation here, Satan ain't about to get my crown. I don't know about nobody else. I don't care what the devil would try to put me through. I'll rank him. First of all, I'll rank him. The Bible says he made us kings and priests. Come on now. I'll rank him. So if he made us kings, then obviously there's a dominion that God, come on now, there's a territory or area that God has called me to govern. He's called me to govern. Every king has a kingdom, right? If we're kings, then we have a kingdom under the king. We have an area of influence. My God, we have an area in which we are called to govern and dominate.
Amen.
For the kingdom of God. Come on now. My goodness. My goodness. See, we have to really, really, really get this. See, because understand this. Your inheritance is tied up in your birthright. I like that. That felt good when I said that. Your inheritance is tied up in your birthright. See, that's why it's so important to be born again. It's so important that we're not walking according to our flesh, but we're walking according to the Spirit, and we're walking by faith and not by sight. We're not going by what it looked like, what it feel like, what it sound like, what it looked like to others, what it looked like according to our natural eyes. Well, we shouldn't have no natural eyes. We should have spiritual eyes, because if we see everything from God's perspective, then we'll be all right. Amen.
Right.
Your inheritance is, my God, is in your birthright. So what God has called, what God has called you to possess as an inheritance is according to who you are in the Spirit. And first of all, if you already know that you're walking in kingship and dominion, or that you're supposed to, that's what God has called you to do, then you go possess the land. The problem is that we don't have a kingdom mindset. We have a church mindset. We just satisfied with being on the corner, just making it. No, I want the whole city for the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to settle for nothing else less than the city. Because them apostles took over cities.
Jesus.
The problem now is that we got too many churches up. That's the problem.
That's it.
We don't need no more churches up. We don't. We got enough to last a lifetime. We got too many churches in one city. Uh-oh. Then I'm gonna get in trouble now. I'm gonna get some emails on this one. Amen. But we got too many churches. The reason why we got all these churches is because nobody kingdom minded. Come on now.
All right.
Nobody's all right. Moving and operating in the things of the kingdom. Amen. My God. So, once again, priority number one, the kingdom. In the New Testament, the kingdom was the first thing to be proclaimed. And in order to live in the benefits of the kingdom, we must live by the principles and laws of the kingdom.
Right.
In order to reap the benefits of being in the kingdom of God. See, because That's why walking in the Spirit is so important, because the Bible says you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when you break a law in any nation or kingdom, it causes you to be punished. And a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, your freedom is going to be taken away from you. So when we break God's law, it limits our freedom in God. Can I say that again? It limits our freedom to move in the things of God like God had ordained for us, because now we're breaking his law. And when you're breaking his law, you bring judgment upon yourself, because you got to stand before a judge, and the purpose of the judge is to what? Judge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we break God's law, we bring judgment upon ourselves. Come on now. It don't mean that God won't restore us back to where we was. But understand that we're going to have to take that consequence. And what you're seeing now is a lot of judgment going on. See, everybody talking about God going to judge the church, God going to judge the church. He is judging it right now. That's why you see everybody being exposed right now. That's why a lot of people are losing their ministries, or losing the anointing God has placed upon their life, and they end up naked and stripped with nothing. That's their judgment. Oh, my Lord. So the church is already under judgment. God is not going to judge the church. He is judging the church right now. We are in a period of judgment right now. Well, those of us that are in the kingdom, we're not under nothing but the kingdom. We're not under judgment. Amen. You know, because there's a difference between kingdom and church. You know, we're doing what God is supposed to be doing, and that's building the church. And we're supposed to be establishing the kingdom. He told his apostles to preach the kingdom.
All
preach
right.
The gospel of the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? We're so busy preaching the gospel of the church. We're so busy preaching, come to my church. You know, come get this miracle bottle of water. And the water don't got no much miracle in it. Some of y'all bought that. Some of y'all out there done bought that water before. That old cloth, green prosperity cloth that ain't bring you no prosperity. Amen. But the reason why folks get into all that, I've been guilty of it too. In my infancy in Christ, I was guilty, y'all. I was guilty. I don't mind telling on myself. I got the little green cloth, and I got the little water, and it ain't do nothing. You know, and then after a while, they say it's free. And then after a while, after like one or two letters, probably they're going to ask you for a seed to activate your blessing. My God. And, you know, at the time, you know, I wasn't making that much money. And I remember somebody had wrote me and talking about, you know, the Lord said, sow this amount of seed. I was like, if that was the Lord, then he would know that I wouldn't have it. So he wouldn't have me to sow nothing like that. I was guilty. I was searching for the kingdom. Amen. I was searching for the kingdom. And now I have arrived and I put away those things. Amen. Those things right there. And see, the thing about it is, folks like that, they play on your ignorance. They play on the fact that you don't really know anything about the kingdom. Understand, every believer is supposed to have a relationship with God for themselves. Every believer is supposed to be moving in the things of the kingdom. These signs shall follow them that believe. It didn't just say apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These signs shall follow them that believe. Some of us need to lay down our apostleship and our prophet titles and all that other stuff and go back to being a believer. You know, we're so busy trying to have titles. And understand the only thing those are a job description. It describes what God, it describes your assignment in the kingdom. That's all it is.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Now, of course, you respect the anointing that's upon the life. But understand this. Some of them wearing titles, they don't got no anointing.
My God.
All right.
My goodness. They wearing their titles, and they have nothing working with them. I've seen a video of a he's semi-well-known, a prophet, and, you know, he was ministering, and I ain't feel zero coming from the screen. I'm like, you actually got people sewing into your ministry? You actually be invited to preach at different churches? And my goodness, I felt zero. I'm like, Lord, what's wrong with him? You know what I'm saying? See, we need to go back to being believers, man. Man, I'm telling you, they was disciples before they was apostles. Believe that. Yeah? They was disciples before they was apostles. We need to go back to being disciples and believers, some of us. Some of us need to go back to being disciples and believers. Because in their discipleship, they was taught about the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks don't know about the kingdom. All they know is Huckamacia and the gifts, and all they know is speaking in tongues, and half of their tongues not even holy. Releasing all kind of crazy stuff. I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, cause when the kingdom is present, stuff gonna be set in order, because the kingdom of any kingdom is based on authority. You know who the king or the queen is, and whatever they say, go. And if you cross that line, they gonna cross you. Amen. Come on now. They're going to cross that lash on your back. They're going to throw you in the dungeon. Amen. Amen. It's just a couple of points I want to make, amen, and then, you know, we're going to close in a little bit. Amen. I mentioned earlier that in order to live in the kingdom, in order to live in the benefits of the kingdom, we must live by the principles and the laws of the kingdom. We established that, right? And then let's go to Luke 12 real quick. I want to read this to you, okay? Maybe it'll help us out, because understand that God wants us to walk in dominion. It was his plan for us from the beginning, the foundation of the world. Luke 12. And it goes, and it is a parallel. It is a parallel to Matthew 6, but it talks about, you know, your basic necessities. I'm going to just start at verse 29. It says, and seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be doubtful of mind. See, the number one opposition to the kingdom of God is a carnal mind, and a carnal mind produces doubt, because a carnal mind will see everything from a carnal perspective, a fleshly perspective. You see what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is spiritual. You must be in the spirit 24/7. You see what I'm saying? In order to fully operate in the kingdom of God. And yes, it is possible to be in the spirit 24/7. It don't mean that you speak in tongues all day or half of the day. Some folks do speak in tongues half of the day. I'm not knocking you, amen. I've been there before too. From time to time, still do. But I'm just saying, you know, understand that when you're walking in the spirit, your lifestyle is lined up with God. And if your lifestyle is lined up with God, then you have that open communication with God with no barriers and no hang-ups, to where if God wants to speak to you, he'll speak to you. I could be in a Golden Corral restaurant, and the Lord would speak to me in the midst of me eating steak or a piece of chicken, and he'd say, go minister to that person. You see what I'm saying? I could be eating chitlins or pig feet or something. And yes, I do love chitlins and pig feet. Amen. I could be eating something like that, or some macaroni and cheese or something, and the Lord will speak to me while I'm eating. See, some people, they gotta go into prayer and worship, and they gotta get in the presence of God. I don't understand all that get in the presence of God when the presence of God is supposed to be in you. Uh-oh.
Amen.
See, the presence of God is supposed to be in you. So really, it don't take that much. All you got to do is tap into what's already in you. And that's the same thing with the kingdom. If the kingdom is in you, then all you got to do is tap into what God has already given you to produce the results that you need. Amen. That's Holy Ghost there. Amen. But check this out. It says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you need these things. He already know that you need. He already know you need clothes. He already know that you need a place to stay. He already know that you need money. He already know that you need these things. They said, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your basic necessities, I explained it earlier. It says, fear not. Fear not, because when you walk in carnality, it causes you to walk in fear too, because you start doubting. When things start looking crazy, then you start getting scared. Come on now. You start getting scared. And then God said, don't be scared. You don't got nothing to be scared of. You know, first of all, anything in the natural, you're not supposed to fear. No way. The only person you're supposed to fear is God. And that's out of reverence, not out of dread. So when folks always threaten about, you know, God gonna do this to you, going to hurt you, he's going to do this, he's going to do that, that's not the character of God. You know, now, he will do it. Don't get me wrong. You know, because just as well as you have a love, you got a wrath. But when you instill that kind of fear of God into people, that's not God. Amen. It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure to give it to you. God takes pleasure in us walking in the authority that he's given us. God takes pleasure in us knowing who we are, being confident in who we are in God, understanding it's nothing of our own, but it has everything to do with God through Christ Jesus. Come on now. God takes pleasure in those things. He takes pleasure in our prosperity too. The Bible says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of the saints. But we know prosperity is not just money. Amen. He said, I wish that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper. So your soul got to prosper first, you know, before you be trying to seek and talk about, you know, God going to prosper you financially. Amen. My God. So God is calling us in this hour to really begin to evaluate once again our walk. Are we really walking in the full potential that God called us to walk in? And if not, why? What is it about our mindset that needs to change? I'm talking to me too. Amen. I'm not just teaching and preaching to y'all. I apply what God give me. Amen. Because I understand that a prophet is the first partaker of his word. Amen. He the first partaker of the word. You know, so I'm talking to everybody, including myself. You know, if we're not walking or operating in our full potential, then why is it? For those of us who have churches or ministries, you know, what are we producing? The people that come sit under, what has been produced in their lives? You see, we got to begin to ask ourselves that, and if understand, we have to really be honest and evaluate and say, look, if the kingdom is not being demonstrated in their lives or ours the way that it should be, then why? Because remember, in the kingdom, there's no lack, there's no sickness, there's no death before time. Come on now. In the kingdom of God is total health, prosperity, peace. You see what I'm saying? All these are attributes of the kingdom. And God is a benevolent king. He's a loving king. You see, so he's not a cruel tyrant. He's not a cruel tyrant over his people. You see, he's not like Caesar. Amen. Come on now. He has an imperial position, but understand that he's not a tyrant. He wants us to do well as well. You see what I'm saying? He wants us to reign in the earth. And I think when we begin to get that kingdom takeover mindset, you see what I'm saying, then we'll begin to see cities change for God. We'll begin to see regions where a demonic principality, and understand principality, you got that word prince in there again. Remember, he's a prince, you a king. Amen. You outrank him. Come out the devil.
Mm.
See, understand that when we get that mindset, we'll begin to really, really, really advance the kingdom and begin to dominate. See, because God has called us to dominate, and a lot of people are scared to say, you know, they call to dominate. They call to dominate the world, but that's what we call to do. But it's for God. Satan got a plan for world dominance. Well, matter of fact, the Bible says he governed the world. So he already got the world where he wanted for the most part. The only thing that's holding him up from complete world domination is us, the ones that's in the kingdom. Amen. So this is the time for us to really reevaluate everything that, you know what I'm saying, the Lord is speaking to us on the night. And I know I'm going to sit back and chew on this a little bit too. Amen. Because there's people that God has called us to reach, and we're going to have to be fully equipped and walking in everything that God wants us to walk in order to reach it. You see, I'm not intimidated when a sick person comes in front of me. I'm not, because I expect God to move. First of all, I believe him. You see what I'm saying? When a demon possesses, I don't believe that there's no devil that's not too strong for me to cast out. I believe I can cast out all demons. Jesus said all power has been given unto me. And when we cast out devils in his name, his all power is included in his name. Come on now. And then as an apostle, he's already given me authority, high-ranking authority. You see what I'm saying? Every believer is supposed to be able to cast out devils, but there's certain different ranks. And I'm going to get into that, too. There's different ranks in the kingdom, too. But all of us have a kingly and a priestly a dimension that we walk in. I'm going to get into that, too, on another segment. But we all have authority over demons, okay? Can I say that again? We all have authority over the kingdom of the enemy. But if the enemy can keep us ignorant concerning the authority that God has already given us, then we will remain a powerless church. That felt good. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If the devil can keep us ignorant, we will remain powerless. And we won't be able to accomplish nothing for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, honestly, in this hour, God is raising up different people and in our politics and stuff like that. With the kingdom mindset now. Understand, there's nothing wrong with all with going into all these things, but we go into all these things with the kingdom mindset to take over for the kingdom of God. See, we have some kingdom folks in office, then a lot of our laws will be changed. They won't have homosexual marriages everywhere. Amen. Come on now. I'm serious. They won't have no homosexual marriages everywhere. You know, our laws will be changed. So it's time to walk in kingdom dominion. We have kingdom authority on the inside of us. We just have to begin to know who we are and begin to walk in. I'm serious, y'all. Because a lot of folks, I'm telling you, a lot of folks are not where they should be. And the thing about it is the kingdom of darkness is constantly advancing. But it seems like the church is at a standstill. And this is why. Because they don't have the kingdom message. They're not walking in the kingdom. They're not demonstrating the kingdom. Can no sick person be in the church? Amen. Would anybody have anything that they wanted to say or add to what the Lord has said on tonight? Amen. I see Prophetess Sherita Berry. God bless you. God bless you. It's a pleasure to have you on today's segment. Amen. And if you wanted to call in or whatnot, if the Lord has, you know, laid it upon your heart to call in, you can. Amen. But I'm gonna let the apostles and the prophets on the line speak. Amen. So if any of you all have anything that the Lord has shared with you all, by all means, share it. Amen.
Amen.
I know somebody got something. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I would just like to say, Apostle, that it was a good word, a good message. Amen. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear the unadulterated, unwatered down truth, but we need to hear it.
Amen.
We really need to hear it. See, nowadays people are so busy trying to get up sermons when people need a word nowadays. They really need to hear from God. Amen. They need an anointed word from heaven and not just scriptures, you know, that somebody done conjured up. So I thank God for the word tonight because it surely was a blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I see Will, you got on the line. God bless you, Will. Amen.
Sure.
Amen. Will is a faithful listener. He's pretty much been on all the segments that I did on here, amen. And you know, Will is a blessing, amen. Will is a good dude, powerful man of God, amen. Especially when God finished with him, amen. We have I'm looking on the screen, amen. We have a caller from Central North Carolina. Are you there? Hello? Caller from Central North Carolina? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have who else is on the line? Because it's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people on the line and 2 people in the chat room listening. Amen. Who else is on the line?
Hi, Apostle. Sister Drake is back again, and I just wanted to enjoy the message all that I heard about walking in your identity and the kingdom should be our priority, and I agree 100%. I come from a lot of, well, I've been in a lot of ministries where it was about the church and the structure of the natural church, and really it wasn't teaching the kingdom. But I know, you know, the Holy Ghost spoke to me personally and allowed me to know that the kingdom is inside of me. And to teach from that place, from the kingdom, and to teach kingdom principles, and to be open to it. Like I said, I'm just glad that I was able to come on to the segment tonight to learn more that the Holy Ghost spoke through you, and I'm just excited about the kingdom. that, you know, it's just time to change from church to kingdom. A lot of people are operating out of church. You hear more about church, and talking about the gifts and how they operate. But then, you know, when do you begin to demonstrate? Now you know what the gifts are. When do we demonstrate? When do we build? When do we teach?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people seem to be stuck, you know. But I just praise God for this segment tonight.
Amen. Amen. The thing about it is, you know, we are the church. Amen. We are the church. And the church is supposed to be the avenue in which the kingdom of God is supposed to be established. Amen. But we've made it so much about a building, you know what I'm saying, instead of, you know, just making it about. And understand, you know, I don't forsake the assembling of the brethren, you know, you assemble with the brethren and all of that. But you are supposed to be advancing, you know, in the things of God and in the things of the kingdom. You know, so it's time for all the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers, fivefold ministry gifts, and believers alike, you know, to really grasp what Jesus was saying in the kingdom message. Amen. And really begin to walk in your identity as a king and priest unto your God. We are a royal priesthood. See, kings deal with royalty, and in priesthood, all we deal with the priests. Amen. So that's another thing that says, we are kings and priests. And then, you know, when the children of Israel just first came out of Egypt, amen, God had said that he's going to make them a kingdom of priests, amen. So priest talks about your relationship with God and, you know, the temple of God and the worship of God, the holiness of God, and then your kingship deals with rulership, dominion, you know, it deals with war also, you know, because all the kings went to war. So our kingly mantle is also for war, dominion in the spirit over the works of darkness. Amen. So, you know, this was definitely a blessed night. Amen. It's definitely a blessed night in the Lord. Amen. And Will, the Lord told me to tell you to keep seeking him here. The Lord just spoke to me. He said, "Keep seeking him here."
Amen.
You know, because there's a lot
hello?
Of things that. Yes, hello.
Pastor.
Yes.
He done dozed off.
Who? Who dozed off?
My mom done dozed off.
Okay.
Oh, here she go.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hello.
Yeah. Somebody don't have their line on mute or something. Somebody was talking outside.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. But Will, the Lord told me to tell you to continue seeking it. You know, there's a lot of things even in this season that the Lord is going to begin to reveal to you. There's a lot of scriptures concerning the holiness of God and the worship of God, you know, that he's going to open to you and give you in-depth understanding of. He's going to cause you to teach it to the people. You know, he's going to cause you to teach it to the people. Because one thing that the people, especially of this region, need to understand is about the holiness of God. You know, it's not what folks think it is. You know, it's not what they perceive it to be. You know, and understand that you, in order to even move and operate in the kingdom of God, you got to be holy. You know, God is not going to give authority to a person who's not holy. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says that the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is spirit. You can't walk in your flesh and be in the kingdom of God. You know, it is impossible. It's like trying to mix oil and water. It's not going to mix together, you know. There's always going to be a distinction there, a separation there. So, you know, God is really, really giving you a heavy assignment in this hour, you know, concerning even the region that you're in, you know. So you just prepare yourself for that and let God do what he got to do in you. Let him continue to mold you and shape you. Let him stay on that potter's wheel, because one thing folks keep doing, they keep jumping off their potter's wheel and they're prolonging their process. Now your process can either be fast or slow. You feel me?
Right.
So The Lord wants you to continue to seek him. And he's going to give you divine revelation concerning his kingdom and his statutes, his holiness. You see what I'm saying? Things that are pertaining to that. You see, because God is also going to cause you to walk in dominion. You see, but I also see you walking in a priestly type anointing also. You know, because you, matter of fact, you deal with worship anyway. Yeah, you deal with worship anyway. So, you know, God is going to teach you about that priestly role a little bit more, but he's going to cause you to walk in kingly dominion as well. You know, because there's some things and some folks around you with some stuff, and they need that kingly anointing needs to be active in your life. It needs to be activated, you know, in your life. So, you know, after starting tonight, the Lord is going to begin to even stir that up in you. And a lot of stuff that you used to stand for, you're not going to stand for no more. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Amen. I heard also for Brother Will that he's going through something right now. Are you seeking employment or you're seeking a different job at this time?
Yes.
You're seeking employment? Because I picked that up all
job.
Around you. I'm sorry, what was that?
Seeking a new job, a better job.
Oh, yes, amen. I picked that up around you, Brother Will. You know, when you hold on to his unchanging hand and you put before him what you have, and you say, hey, this is what I want, sure, he'll give it to you. He'll bring it to you. But everything is done definitely is in his timing. And one thing we ain't got to worry about is patience, because we got to wait anyhow. But, Brother Will, when I tell you God is going to do just that for you, but you got your part to do just like God got his part to do. We can say, I want a job, but we got to look for the job. Job ain't going to come knock on the door and say, hey, Will, I'm here. Come get me. I'm the job. So this is what you have to do. You are excellent also with your hands, Brother Will. I don't know, do you do any kind of like construction work or anything?
No, ma'am.
Because I see you doing some excellent work, excellent work with your hands. And I don't know what you are doing at this time, but God has placed some kind of building, and I don't know specifically what it is, with construction or building or engineering, I don't know what it is that it is that God has placed in you, within you, that needs to be brought on. Are you a young man?
Yes.
Okay, well, you still got a lot of things to seek out and search out before you actually really get to where you want to be at. God has placed a lot of gifts on the inside of you, and that's one of them, and that's the building of things, whatever it may be. But I just picked up construction all around you, being good with your hands. God is going to do some awesome and magnificent things with you, as long as you keep holding on to his unchanging hand. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Prophetess Green, Apostle Arneel. The Lord is releasing a word unto me when you were speaking. In revelation to the word that you released on tonight, and what he's requiring of the body of Christ in this hour, he spoke a word and he said, take off your dirty clothes.
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm.
And he's speaking that to the body of Christ, and he spoke on the mind of Christ on tonight, and he spoke on the attire that we wear in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said so many in the body of Christ, even the fivefold ministry, is also trying to advance in the kingdom with the dirty clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Not walking in holiness and righteousness, not standing in right standing with God. And he say, in this hour, he is not pleased
Come on.
With the dirty clothes. He said it's not about what you learn from your mother. It's not about your family ways. Okay, now he going to get in deep into somebody's business.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said it's a false religion.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe the flesh.
Come on.
When you believe things that's not real, superficial. And people are trying to bring superficial things into the body of Christ and make God receive what they're bringing. But God said in this hour, it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, take off your dirty clothes.
Mm-hmm.
What you've held on to the past, God said, hold on to it no more.
Mm-hmm.
Think of those things. And he said also, practice not those things. And he said, and when you are birthed into the kingdom of God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, your mindset begin to change and you begin to grasp the word of God. And you take that word of God and you apply the word of God. But he said, that's what's going on in the kingdom of God. We are not applying the word of God. That's why the anointings, he said, is tainted in this hour.
Yes.
The word that's going from across the pulpit is tainted in this hour. He said that's why the songs that we sing is tainted in this hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the dirty clothing. And God is saying in this hour, he wants to renew your mind.
Amen.
And when your mind is renewed, your heart is transformed unto the heart of God. But you cannot grasp the kingdom with the same old dirty clothes, practicing the former life.
Come on.
And God want to bring you into this new life. He said a new way of living, being circumcised from the heart. And when you're circumcised from the heart, the mind is circumcised. And that's why we're not seeing it. We're not getting it. Because we're still wearing the dirty garments. And see, he said, Rabbi Shah, Robo Satan. So many people want to cover up. Okay, he said you want to wear your priestly garments, but what's up under your priestly garments?
Come on now.
You have a dirty heart. If you got hate in your heart, if you got envy in your heart, if you got strife in your heart, if you confused in your heart, he said. Okay, that's dirty garments.
Mm.
He said begin to strip yourselves. Begin to wash yourselves pertaining to the word of God, knowing that he is coming back for a church without a spot or a blemish. And he's speaking on an individual level.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's saying in this hour we can no longer blame it on the priest. We can no longer blame it on the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors. Why? Because he have made himself known unto his people. He said, when you stand before me, he said, I will judge you, not your pastor, not your apostle, not your prophet. But according to your works, God say, according to your lifestyle that you're living here on earth, holiness in this hour. And so he said, take off your dirty garments. Change what you're perceiving God to be, because we cannot change the mindset of God. He will not change his kingdom. He said many of us trying to fit him into our schedules. He said he pulled upon us in the midnight hour. And he said because some of us has been so busy. Rabashe, not looking after his business, but you Rabashata allowing distractions to come in. And he Rabashate, he said, Rabashata. He said, don't do like the world do. When the world become in need, then you come unto God. He said, don't be like the world, because he's not a selfish God, but he said he is a jealous God.
Mm.
Amen. And I just hear the Spirit of the Lord say, take off the old practices.
Come on.
Old mindset. The old nature of flesh. Because it's spirit. He want us to perceive. It's spirit. He want us to walk into spirit. Stay in the spirit, God say. And out of our own mindset.
Amen. And you know, Providence, as you was talking, the Lord showed me something while you was talking. He gave me another revelation. Remember I was talking about Adam and Eve, right, and how they was naked, but they were so close to God that they didn't realize their nakedness because they was already clothed in that, you know, royal apparel. Because understand that your garments, back then symbolized who you were, and God gave Adam dominion. And I already talked about, you know, how we are clothed in the spirit. You see what I'm saying? Who we are in the spirit can only be seen in the spirit. I explained all that earlier, you know, for those who just came in and logged on. But the Lord began to give me a revelation. After he disobeyed God, well, stop using disobey God, he rebelled against God. After he did that act of rebellion against God, okay, he lost his authority. The enemy picked it up. But then it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, that they were both naked. The man, okay, no, I'm sorry. They're both naked, and the man and the wife, and they were not ashamed. But then it says in chapter 3, verse 21, it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. Oh, geez. Did you just catch that?
My Jesus.
So they lost, my God. They lost, my goodness, Jesus. They lost their inheritance.
Jesus.
They lost their dominion. They lost their royal and priestly garment. They lost their priestly and their royal garment. Adam lost his crown and begin to take upon flesh. He took upon a fleshly skin upon his body. And it said the Lord clothed him. My God. The Lord clothed him with flesh skin. Because symbolizing that, hey, you're going to forsake what I've given you in the spirit for something that's in the flesh. Here, you're going to have to wear flesh for the rest of your life. So what we're seeing now is people are trading in their royal garments for something that's fleshly. And Adam began to walk, my God, he walked according to the flesh from that moment on. See, because when he was in the garden, he walked according to the Spirit of God. You see, but then when he left, you see, then he began to walk according to the flesh. He had to wear flesh. Everything was flesh around. He had to hunt for his own food. He had to hunt flesh. Everything was flesh. You see, and that's what we're seeing now. In these days, is a bunch of flesh, you see. But one thing about it is, see, you can tell when flesh is operating and reigning in the building, God ain't there, because the Bible says flesh ain't going to glory in God's presence. So when God show up for real, all flesh going to get slapped down. You see, so flesh cannot glory in his presence. Flesh going to get kicked out. See, being that Adam was in the flesh, God clothed them with flesh and kicked them out to God.
Jesus.
So in this hour, we gotta make sure that we're not walking. We have to make sure that we're not walking according to the flesh. This is a very a critical hour for the people of God. Amen. And I encourage all the business owners, all that, you see what I'm saying, you know, because God is going to use a lot of that to advance the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? God is going to use a lot of that, but those who are in business must understand that even though they're doing a natural thing, it's for a spiritual purpose, my God. It's for a spiritual purpose. And see, you got to begin to govern your business according to how God wants it done too, according to the Spirit of God. The problem is that we get so natural and practical, and we get so logical, amen, and understand that there's certain laws that you have to abide by, but there's certain things that God will give you wisdom on too to do without breaking the law, amen. Because God is the God over the law, He's over the law, so. He allowed the law to be instituted because the Bible says that every law and every authority has been placed by God. Amen. So God is going to begin to even give people that are in that kind of arena spiritual wisdom on how to govern their and conduct their business so that the kingdom of God can be established. Amen. You got folks, you got a lot of these pastors now, man, they are going into business and all this other stuff, but you have people in their own church that don't got jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and the Bible says that you should do good to those that are of the house of faith, especially. They come first.
Amen.
You see, that goes to show that our priorities are jacked up. And prophetess, that's the on-time word that the Lord gave you because we have to renew our mindset. See, in order to operate in the kingdom, our mindset has to be renewed.
Amen.
Our mindset has to be renewed because, if our mindsets are not renewed, understand that, see, with the mind and with the intellect, we try to, with our mind always examines stuff all the time. It examines stuff, you know, and it goes by what it sees. You see what I'm saying? It goes by what it perceives. You see what I'm saying? So if you're walking according to your flesh or according to your mind or you're walking according to the soulless realm, you're going to always be governed by how you feel. You're going to always be governed by what it looks like. You're going to always be governed by what it sounds like. You're going to always be looking at everything from a logical, natural, fleshly, carnal perspective. And see, the thing about it, God used the foolish things to confound the wise. See, the folks that claim that they're wise in this world, they're intellectual people. According to the wise, talking about the wisdom of the world, the mind. You see, so he used the foolish things to confound the wise. Or the ones that think that they know it all. They got it all down pat. They done analyzed everything and they got everything figured out. And according to their analysis, this is what they going to do. Those ones like that, God gonna make them feel like they totally dumbfounded. Because I'm going to tell you something. According to modern science and all that other stuff, miracles can't happen. Arms can't grow out. People can't come out of wheelchairs. Once you sick, you sick. AIDS can't be. There's no cure for AIDS. According to the natural. You see, but according to the supernatural, the spirit, it's a totally different thing. Amen. It is a totally different thing. So in order to even perceive the things of the kingdom, your mindset has to be renewed. Matter of fact, you know, you got to walk in the spirit and your mindset got to be lined up with the spirit of God.
Amen.
Flesh has to be in submission to the things of the spirit. Your spirit, man, literally got to oppress your flesh until it's dead. Keep your flesh malnourished. That means no Jerry Springer on TV for those who call themselves Christians.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, because you're not a Christian, nor are you godly or of God if you watch Jerry Springer. And I will tell you that. I will say it on national TV. I will tell it to Obama that he's not a Christian. Anytime he endorses homosexual marriages and talking about, you know, we need to embrace our gay lesbian brothers and sisters. No, we need to minister the love of Jesus to them. We can't embrace what they're doing. You see, but we can embrace them as a person, but not what they're doing. Cast that devil out of them. Then we'll embrace them. Amen. Lay some hands on them. Call that devil out of them. I'm serious.
Amen.
See, I would not. See, most folks, man, I'm telling you something. We so racist, it's a shame. Because soon as Obama got elected president, all the black folks, you know, they started treating it. They started acting like he was a black messiah or something. And then, bam, he showed his true colors, lesbian and gay agenda. You see, and that's like the most sickest thing, you know what I'm saying, to God. Now, God loves the person, but he hates the act because it's anti-God. It is anti-Christ. The anti-Christ spirit is homosexual in nature. One thing God don't like is when a man and a woman get together, get married, and start producing babies and raising them up in the Lord. That's what he hates. Come on now. So I just praise God.
Amen.
Apostle Campbell just wrote something. I'm sorry. She said, I heard the Lord say when the woman of God spoke that he has to separate you. Okay, was that for me? Or that was for everybody on the line? Apostle Campbell.
No. No, that was for the woman that was speaking.
Okay. All right. Wait. You know, that was for Prophetess Cheryl?
I didn't get her name.
Yeah, Prophetess Cheryl Green. That's the woman of God's name. That was for her?
Yes. And I was sitting here trying, and I didn't want to interrupt.
Uh-huh.
I didn't interrupt anyway, because y'all was, you know, definitely talking, saying some very good things, but it was kind of bothering me, and I was trying to figure it out. Well, I said, well, okay, God, well, what is this? Has she got off the line?
I'm serious.
I'm so sorry. I didn't want to interrupt. I wanted you to keep going, and I could have said what I had to say when you were done, Apostle.
Oh no, that's all right. Obviously, God wanted to say it because I walk around when I talk, and I went and I'm sat at the computer and I seen it. So obviously the Lord wanted to address now. So you can go ahead and give it a word.
I'm sorry. It's prophetess.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was hearing the Lord saying, and I said, well, Lord, I don't know what this is you're saying, because, you know, he was saying that he was separating you from some people. He wanted you to stand alone so he can give you your own, the associations. You know, we get caught up in getting with people and helping other people build their stuff, and we lack in building our own stuff. And I don't know what that means to you about church folks. You know, but church folk, you know, they love to pull on you. But God wants you to get those souls. You know, leave them church folk where they at and get them souls.
Amen. I receive.
Does that make sense to you tonight?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Okay, because he doesn't want you to build anybody else's but what he has given you.
Mm.
And you know, we can get caught up in other people's stuff, and we miss what we're supposed to be doing in our own stuff. So I don't know if you have your own church or you're looking for your own church, but that's what I heard the man upstairs say.
Amen. I receive. Yeah, I receive.
Amen.
I don't have my own church per se now, but the Lord has spoken that to me as well. And
amen.
You said church people tend to pull at me and the anointing upon my life. And I definitely receive, and I thank you for releasing that word.
Amen, amen. You know, because it comes to be a time where we are holding up deliverance, healing, and miracles for the people that God got waiting on you.
Amen.
You're holding them up from where they're supposed to be, following you. But I know one thing I heard the man of God say is a lot of churches. Yeah, that is true, is a lot of churches. But the anointing destroys the yokes.
Yes.
And the anointing on your life is to destroy yokes, not sit up with church folks.
Amen. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Father, this is Thomas. I'm a servant of the Lord, and Father is calling his people to separate themselves from what's going on in the world, whether it be the churches, whether it be just, you know, the Gentile way of thinking. Father wants us to separate ourselves because he's given us a commission, the Great Commission. In these last days, the commission must go forth to spread the gospel coming of the Lord. He's coming. And they got to get prepared. But he wants those who want him. So he's sending us specifically out. And he's handpicking the people that he wants to go out and pull and do this work, to pull these souls out of the darkness. He's saying, step out the boat. Step out the boat. Like Peter did, step out the boat and keep your eyes focused on him.
Amen.
You ain't got to be worried about sinking if you just keep your eyes focused on him. Because what he wants us to do is to walk in the true power of the Father. And it's going to take that radical faith, that blind faith. You're going to have to have it. Because in order for us to work, to walk in the greater works, we have to have that faith. But we also have to be obedient and step out on faith. That means you have to have your relationship with the Father close, and you have to have it solid.
Mm-hmm.
The people are dying out there, but he's given us the commission to go out there and save who shall ever be saved. Whoever is attracted to us and attracted to the word of God, they shall be saved. Whoever don't want it, I'm sorry. It's heaven or hell. This is what's going forward. This is the time.
Amen.
And that's been the manna and the meat that he's been seriously dealing with me about, heaven or hell. I want those who want me.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And
he said he mocks the mockers. He's mocking them. And we got to also understand that the world is not going to like us. We are no better than Jesus. The world is not going to like us. We follow Jesus. We follow our Father. We have to take the insults. We have to suffer whatever he suffered.
Amen.
And not have a problem with it.
Hmm.
You know, Paul and them, they used to get happy or excited when they got thrown in jail because they were serving Father. And they knew they were going to be facing these things.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be prepared to carry your cross, all of it, all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And you got to know that you know that you know.
Glory to God. Mm.
My Lord.
What we're running into is that somebody said that the supernatural and the superficial.
Mm.
Father's also dealing with that. Dealing with me about that, you know, we're going to run into this. when the true anointing meets the false anointing. Because that's what he's calling out.
Yeah.
Everything that Apostle Blair has been speaking of, it's a manifest that it's just confirmation on what's going on. He's taking the lampshades off of what's been going on in the cover of the darkness and bringing it to the light, because the Holy Spirit brings all things into truth and subjection.
Yes.
But that's what's going forward. Everything that has been false is going to fall. But everything that's of the truth is going to stand. And that's what we have to do. Stand.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And you said something that was so key that stuck out of my spirit. You said, we got to step out of that boat. I'm going to tell you something.
Amen.
God is raising up. And hear my words. Hear my words, everybody on this line and everybody that's in the chat room that's listening. God himself is raising up a remnant.
Come on.
Now, we have heard this said so many times before. So many times.
Come on.
You heard Juanita Bynum say it. You heard, but I'm going to tell you something. This is the hour the Lord told me. See, he said, this is the season of the remnant. Jesus. Jesus. This is the season of the remnant. And see, everybody who say they the remnant, the prophesying about the remnant, a lot of them not are the remnant. A lot of them are not. See, because see, one thing about this remnant that God is raising up now, they're going to appreciate what God has done. They're going to go forth in the authority that God has called them to go forth in. But at the same time, they're going to be so obedient and humble and broken before God.
Amen.
And they're going to have character to go along with their anointing.
Jesus.
See, the problem is that folks don't got no character no more. You see, that's why you can treat any and everybody any kind of way, because folks don't got no character no more. I'm telling you, I was looking on YouTube, and I think I was talking to Prophetess Green about this, there's this young prophet that be on TV, that be on YouTube and TV and all that other stuff. I ain't calling no names, because you got a couple of young prophets out there, got a couple of, but you know, I noticed how, you know, they just so smug and arrogant when they preach. I understand that. You know, you can teach with authority, because the Bible says Jesus taught with such great authority. You see what I'm saying? And understand that when the anointing is upon you, you know the authority of God could be, you know what I'm saying, displayed through you. I understand that. You know, I've been in that position myself. But understand this, that there's a difference between walking in authority and being arrogant. There's a difference between walking in the authority that God has given you and being arrogant. And some folks get arrogant in the authority that God gives them. What right you have to be arrogant? The authority that you have ain't yours. My God.
Come on now.
So God is raising up folks with some character. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've seen people get saved in jail, come out of jail, and then come into the church, and then they make up a minister, and then they end up falling in sin, and then they end up backsliding. Because their character not made. I don't care if they did experience Jesus in jail. I don't care if they have got baptized in the Holy Ghost in jail. When you come up in this ministry here, you're going to be made by God. You're going to know what it's like to love God and love people. Yeah, the people that you call to. You're not going to act like you're better than them. Come on now. Your flesh going to be under control. Your hormones not going to be ripping and running and going everywhere. Amen. You know.
Amen.
You know, come a point in time where we should be over certain stuff. Now, you know, come a point in time now. I'm not saying I've been all clean my whole walk, but I'm going to tell you something. Stuff that I used to struggle with, I don't struggle with no more. I can honestly say that I'm not a fornicator. I can honestly say that I'm not living in sin now. Come on now. I can honestly say that I don't practice a lifestyle of sin. Now, there's two types of sin. just willfully and unintentionally. Sometimes we miss God on certain stuff, or God tells us to do something, and then, you know, we don't act on it. And, you know, when God tells us to act on it, then we miss it, and then we be like, Lord, please forgive me, and then he'll probably bring it back around again. Okay? However, you got the other sin. And I'm not saying that that's what I just mentioned. I'm not saying you make a habit of doing that either. Amen. I'm not excusing that, you know, because a sin is a sin. God tell you to move, you move when you say move. But I understand sometimes we miss him, and God must be understanding of that too, because he don't kill us right then. However, there is a type of sin that's described in Hebrews 10:26. It's called the sin of rebellion. The Bible says, see, in the Old Testament, rebellion, as soon as you did one act of rebellion, God killed you. And then the Bible in the New Testament teaches us that the blood of Jesus does not atone for rebellion. And I'm getting ready to prove that now. The Bible says, if we willfully sin after we receive the knowledge of truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin. That word sacrifice is talking about the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Right? It's talking about the atoning work of Jesus Christ, because that word sacrifice means atonement. And the only one that made atonement for our sins was Christ. It said, if willfully sin after you receive the knowledge of truth, that means you know not to do it, God showed you in his word not to do it, God told you not to do it, but you do it anyway. That's doing the exact opposite of what God said do. God said don't do it, and you did it anyway. That's rebellion. And the blood of Jesus does not atone for rebellion, because the Bible says that kind of sin there's no more sacrifice for, or no more atonement for. So when you're in a state of rebellion, the blood of Jesus does not atone for it. Just like you willfully doing it, you got to willfully come out of it. And then begin to move in the things of God. And then when you come out of that rebellion, then the blood of Jesus will begin to atone for you. Then you begin to move in the grace of God. But when you rebel against God, you insult the grace of God. And I taught that in the second segment. You know, in order to be in the, in order to advance the kingdom, you got to be in the kingdom first. And you can't be in the kingdom if you're rebellious. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so, you know, we have to be very, very, very careful. So, you know, God is good. And Thomas, the Lord is really finna open some doors for you too. I'm concerned in ministry. There's a lot that God has to teach you. There's a lot that he's going to teach you. He's going to take you through a lot of things in his word. And, you know, the way that people have taught things and perceived things, the Lord is going to give you a total different perception of it. Matter of fact, he's going to give you a kingdom perception of it. And the Lord is going to cause you to teach the people the difference between that which is clean and that which is unclean. You know, and the ones that God is going to call you to minister, and the ones that's going to come under your covering, you know, the Lord says that, you know, you're going to deal with a lot of folks that are dealing with holiness issues. That's what, and you know, I know you personally, so I pretty much know your call. But the Lord want me to remind you again that those who have a problem with holiness, the Lord has given you an anointing to break that. And understand, the anointing destroys all yokes, but a lot of times that a lot of us, we can be anointed in certain areas more than others. You know, and then that, you know, that goes with deliverance ministry, and the Lord has anointed you in the area of deliverance. You see what I'm saying? God is going to bring a lot of people that are struggling on the inside with inward stuff. You see what I'm saying? Secret things, you know what I'm saying, that's holding them captive. And the Lord is going to begin to even deal with you in the word of knowledge. He's going to perfect that gift in you, the gift of the word of knowledge, where you'll be able to see, you know, exactly what it is that they're struggling with and going through, and the discerning of spirits. Well, you already got that, but God is going to increase that, because you got that very strong gift of discerning of spirits. And word of knowledge is really going to work a lot, especially when you minister. You know, it's even going to come across when you're presenting the word of God. you know, over the pulpit or whatnot. But the Lord said once again, despise not a small beginning, because where the Lord is taking you, you know, and what you have been through, you see what I'm saying, is for a purpose and it's part of your message. I was explaining to a prophet earlier today. I was talking to a man of God and you know, a prophet, and he was just, you know, we were just talking about the prophetic and everything like that. And a lot of people have to realize that, you know, especially when you call to the prophetic, you know, realm, that a prophet lives out his or her message, okay? A prophet walks out their message. I've been through it. You see what I'm saying? When I was walking as a prophet, you know, I went through so much, but everything that I walked out in, as far as me being a prophet, that's what I'm preaching now. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm proclaiming now. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm walking out. That's what I have walked out of, and that's what I'm proclaiming. You see what I'm saying? Every prophet lives out their message. You see what I'm saying? Ezekiel had to demonstrate the message. He had to lay on his side, each side a certain amount of days, and those days represent years for the captivity of Israel and Judah. You see what I'm saying? And the Lord says that you have been living and you've been walking out your message. You see what I'm saying? Now the Lord is going to have you to proclaim that message, because there's a lot that he's placed in you, you know, for this time. And there's a lot of insight the Lord is going to give you, you know, concerning, you know, the things that he's going to show you concerning the kingdom. Because the Lord, I believe everybody that's written in this hour, God is going to give us insight into things of the kingdom of God. See, that's what's missing. You see what I'm saying? The gospel that Jesus preached was the kingdom of God. You see what I'm saying? Yes, Jesus is coming back, but he's coming back for a kingdom church. He's not coming back for no he's not coming back for no ruck-time church talking about let's go down by the river. Amen. He's coming back for a kingdom church. A church that's walking in dominion, a church that's walking in power, a church that's walking in perfection in Christ. You see what I'm saying? A church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Understand that you got folks sick in the church, that ain't spot, blemish, or wrinkle. That ain't without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. That's spotted, blemished, and wrinkled. You got folks demon-possessed in the church still. You see what I'm saying? You didn't hear about that in the book of Acts. Not like that. Now, some of the folks might have got out of hand, and Apostle Paul had to put them back in their place, or they had to get some order, some stability amongst the people. You see what I'm saying? But understand that they did not. Most of the demons that they cast out was by people who was not in the church, and then they end up joining the church. You see what I'm saying? So this is the kind of movement that God is calling us to. To now, amen. I mean, the Lord told me years ago that, you know, the book of Acts is going to be lived all over again, but in a greater measure. See, we're going to walk out the book of the Acts of the Apostles all over again, but in a greater measure, a greater measure. Because Jesus said the same works that he do, we're going to do in greater, you see. But we got to do the works of Christ first before we can do greater. So God is taking us to the works of Christ, amen. And you know, man of God, I just encourage you to keep striving here. You know, keep seeking first the kingdom here. And there's a lot of things that the Lord is going to show you. And you know, it's going to be, matter of fact, God's going to show you some things and give you insight on some things that folks have never even heard of before. But it's right there in the Word of God, right there in plain sight. But the Lord is going to give it to you. Mm-hmm. He sure is. God is going to give you such a revelation concerning the ways of God. That's why I hear the Holy Ghost say, concerning the ways of God, you know, the way he operates, you know, and the way he does things in his kingdom. God is going to begin to show you his ways, amen? And that must have been something that you asked him, I don't know. But God is going to show you his ways. That's what he told me to tell you. Thomas, you there?
I'm here.
Amen.
That's always something that I'm asking God. God, show me your way. Teach me your way.
Mm-hmm.
Always afraid.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Apostle Campbell, I just walked over to the computer. Amen. The Lord says for you that a greater demonstration is coming to your ministry. You know, and there's some things that's been held up too. I'm here, the Lord say. There's some things that has been held up in the spirit realm. But as you begin to walk in dominion and walk in the dominion that God has called you to, a lot of things are going to be released. There's a greater measure that God has called you to walk in this hour. And, you know, the Lord is even going to begin to stir your faith up even more to see the manifestation of the power of God in a greater way. And, you know, there's a lot of Ivan see, you know, and Lord knows I don't prophesy money. I don't like prophesying money. You know, I'm not a money minister, but I even see an increase of finances I'm coming to you to do what you really desire to do and the things that God has given you to do. And I even said that there's some areas too that God has called you to do that requires finances. You know, but the Lord is going to release them finances to you in this season. This is your season to reign, the Lord says. And God is going to begin to even the more so crown you with wisdom on how to be able to do these things that he's called you to do, because there's a lot that he's given you to do. And, you know, I just hear the word signs. The Lord is going to really perform signs in your ministry. Amen. He really is going to perform signs in your ministry. You're going to show up in ways that, you know, he has not shown up before, you know. And my God, I even see a lot of drug dealers coming to your church. People that's involved in drug activity is getting ready to be saved in your ministry, in the ministry that God has called you to oversee. Amen. And I even see a year or two from now where you will be establishing another ministry. I don't know exactly where you're going to be going, but I don't know if the Lord has ever given you a vision of another ministry or not, but the Lord is going to begin to, he's going to prepare you to establish another ministry. And there's some people in your ministry that God is raising up to be in place when you go to establish this other ministry. So the Lord is really going to mobilize you. He's really going to mobilize you. You're not going to be stuck in one place. You know, you're not going to be stuck in one place, but God is ordering your footsteps, and he's causing you to move now. One thing that the Lord has given me, I said this over and over again, and, you know, he just reminded me of it again when I was talking to you. The Lord says that the vision is for now, and it shall not tarry.
Amen.
You see, so God is preparing you now to walk in this level, but you know he's even going to build your faith up the more. You see what I'm saying? And even in your next Sunday service, you're gonna see a difference. You're gonna see a difference in the presence and the power of God. And you know, God is just going to cause you to go forth, you know, in things of the kingdom. And there's more that he has to reveal to you. There's more that he has to show you. There's more. I just hear the Lord saying that is more. You know, it just doesn't stop here. It's more that he has to show you. And you know, part of a lot of what I said on tonight, the Lord gave me while I was teaching the word and everything. The Lord said that a lot of that was for you too to also apply. Amen. Because as you begin to walk, you know, as the ruler that God has called you to be, you know, you will see kingdom results. And you will see those things that have been trying to block you, you will see those things subdued also. Amen. You will see those things subdued. Because I really feel like there's some things that has been some things that has been held up. And it's because, you know, the full authority, you know, you're not really walking in the full authority that God has given you. But in this season, he's going to cause you to walk in that full authority that God has called you to. Amen. And, you know, as a result of that, you know, I don't know exactly where you are, but whatever city you're at, you know, God is calling you to really, really establish God's dominion in that city. You know, because the area that you're in, you know, it has a lot of a little weird mysticism spirits over in that region. You know, I don't know exactly what's there, you know, but I'm just trying to like pick it up in the spirit. But the Lord is showing me that you know, it really is a spirit of divination that really governs where you're at. You know, and it governs a lot of surrounding churches and a lot of surrounding, you know, just that whole region. You know, it's a lot of divination, and it keeps the people. And it keeps the people in bondage there, but God is going to cause you to. God wants to raise you up to begin to bring that down and break that off of the lives of the people that He's called you to. So now's the time just to rise up with your scepter in your hand and say, "Well, I am who God say I am," and devil, you're going to lose them now. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because now's the time for kingdom advancement now. You know what I'm saying? This is the hour where God is like, you know, hey, you know, he told me one day it's time to either put up or shut up. You know what I'm saying? You got to walk in this thing. I'm just telling you what He told me, and it's time to walk in this thing now for real. You know, and I feel this so deep in my spirit, and my faith is just stirred up. You know what I'm saying? I believe that I can really conquer the world for Jesus. You see what I'm saying? That's the kind of faith that's stirred up in me right now. You see what I'm saying? And God is He's good, you know, and He's gonna cause you to walk in dominion. Now's the time to walk in. Now's the time to walk in it. You know, what He's giving you, the things that He's showing you. Now's the time for it to be produced. And it can only be produced in the kingdom, and being that, you know, if you're in the kingdom and everything like that, you know a lot of things we have the authority to cause to produce. We're not the ones that produce it, but we can cause it to be produced. Amen. We can call forth to be done according to the will of the Father, and according to the kingdom of God. You see what I'm saying? So God is going to be dealing with you a lot about the things that He's given you even years ago, even a few years back that He's given you. Amen. Now is the time for it to begin to unfold. So, woman of God, you know, increase signs and wonders. You know, the Lord is even going to sharpen your spiritual gifts some more. Amen. Will, I saw what you wrote, and God bless you. You know, but God is going to cause you to even begin to be sharpened more. You know, because each level you go, you see what I'm saying, you got to, the anointing upon your life has to match where you're going.
Amen.
You know, that's with everybody. Mm-hmm. That's with me. That's with everybody. You see what I'm saying? So God is going to increase. You know, I just feel increase in every area of ministry. That's needed, and even in your home too, God's gonna fix some things there also. That's what the Lord told me to tell you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I receive it. I didn't know if you knew about my prayer line on Thursday night.
I tried to call there last Thursday, but it didn't. Well, nobody on there. I might have dialed the wrong number.
We start at 7:30 Eastern time because I'm in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, I'm in Virginia, so we have the same time zone.
Okay. Well, praise God. Last week I had an engagement, so I had someone else on the prophetic prayer line, but we'd love to have you. Love to have you on there.
Amen. I'll make that my business to be up there, because I sure did try to come on last week. I don't think I was on time, so I probably did a little later, and then, you know, it probably, you know, happened. it probably so happened that, you know, they probably closed down a little early. I'm not quite sure. But I'll be on there this Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah.
God bless. You're doing a wonderful thing here. And I thank God for you inviting me. Let me know when the next one is on.
All righty. I sure will.
All right. Be blessed, all right. Brother.
All right. All right. You too. Amen. Amen. Prophet Green, you still on the line?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Now, this person from Central North Carolina, this Sybil?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. What's going on with you, Sybil? How you doing?
I'm still learning. I'm doing fine in you.
Amen, amen. God is making you like a sponge in this season. You know that.
Amen.
You know it's a lot of things that that you're learning now, not only from this line, but even by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is really the Spirit of God has really been teaching you some things as well. He's been dealing with you about a lot. And like I said, I believe this strongly, that every believer ought to have a relationship with God.
Amen.
I mean, understand you respect your pastor's authority and everything like that, but your pastor is not your God. I'm going to say that again. And most pastors are not going to tell you that. Most apostles and prophets are not going to tell you that. You see, your pastor is not your God. Every believer, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Deliverance and casting out demons and healing, that's a ministry for every believer, not just us apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. Amen. And God is really going to cause you to really sprout. I see you kind of like, my goodness, it's like a flower that's just being nourished. You see what I'm saying? You got rich soil. You see what I'm saying? Your roots are very deep. You see what I'm saying? And my God, I don't even talk like this, so I know it's God. You see what I'm saying? But your roots are very deep, and the soil that you rooted in is very rich. You see what I'm saying? You receiving your proper nourishment. I even see the Lord even like watering that soil. You see what I'm saying? Watering that flower, and you know what I'm saying? I just see it in the daytime as the sun is shining. I see it really sprouting. You see what I'm saying? And growing up into a tall flower. You see what I'm saying? A very tall and a bit, and the stem is very strong too. This is what I'm seeing in the spirit. I don't. You see like this or prophesy like this, so I know it's God. Amen. But that's what God is causing you to be in the spirit. You see what I'm saying? This is what God is causing you to be. And, you know, God's going to increase you in the prophetic because you flow very strongly in that. You know, done molding and shaping you, because you're in a season now where God is beginning to mold and shape you. And, you know, you needed to hear this thing tonight, too, about dominion as well, because you have authority over everything that's around you that ain't God. You hear?
Amen.
Ah, my God. I felt that in the Holy Ghost. Jesus. See, some things that's going on around you right now is spiritual. So God is giving you spiritual authority. And once you conquer, my God, once you conquer what's around you, Shatabasia, once you conquer what's around you, I'm telling you, everything else in the natural going to line up. Everything and everybody. Amen. And I even see some things financially that's been held up for you too. You know, the devil just trying to hold everybody's stuff. You know, but when we begin to walk in the authority of God, he's gonna have to lose everything that is rightfully ours in the first place because of who we are in God.
Yes, amen.
Because of who we are, and because of who you are, you know, and the enemy knows that you don't fully grasp your authority yet. You see what I'm saying? So what he's doing is, you know, he's trying to wear you down before you get there. He's been trying to wear you down with stuff. You see what I'm saying? And it's really a distraction. You see what I'm saying? Because the kingdom ought to be a priority in all of our lives, but what the enemy does is he takes the cares of life and things like that, and he used that to distract us, and then next thing you know, we just all distracted and all messed up and all total peace. You know, that has happened to me before. You see what I'm saying? But the enemy is trying to cause that to happen in your life too. But from this day forward, from this moment on, God is calling you to walk in who he say you are.
Mm.
See, regardless of whether man recognizes it or not, and regardless of whether your pastor, whoever recognizes it or not, if it's for you to be recognized by anybody, God will call them to recognize it, but you are who you are before man recognizes you first. You see what I'm saying? A king is born a king. You see what I'm saying? A king is born a king. And when you become born again, you are who you are already. You see what I'm saying? It's not dependent upon whether somebody want to recognize it or call it out or not. You see what I'm saying? Man may not recognize it, but God recognizes it. So you walk humbly before the Lord, but at the same time knowing who you are in him. And that'll change your whole perspective, I'm telling you.
Amen.
Ah, my God. And God is going to fill you up too, to the brim.
Thank you.
I just seen it's almost like water being poured in a large bowl, and it's just overflowing. God is going to fill you up to the brim.
Thank you, Jesus.
And matter of fact, God is doing some things in you now while I'm talking to you. You see what I'm saying? God is going to fill you up. Because see, you one thing about it is, you know, you're hungry. You see what I'm saying? And when you hungry, the Bible says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You see what I'm saying? And you are hungry.
Yeah.
You really are. You really are. You desire more of the Lord. You see what I'm saying? And one thing about it is, see, God goes with your intentions, your desires. And you know, sometimes you don't get to that place that you really need to be, or there's a lot of things that you would like to do, but you don't have the chance to do it or whatnot. But you're hungry and you're thirsty, and whenever you have the opportunity, and when God tug on your spirit, you are obedient. And for that, the Lord said he's going to fill you up.
Thank you, God.
Mm. He's going to fill you up. I mean, to the brim. You're gonna be so overflowing in the spirit. Your spirit gonna be so full. You see, because it's like the enemy is literally trying to suck everything that God has placed in you out of you. He tried to suck you dry, and he tried to use people to suck you dry. You understand? The enemy is trying to use people to suck you dry. And even now I feel the opposition that he has coming against you right now. I feel it. And some things that you're aware of, some things you're not aware of. You see, sometimes God hides us from certain things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You see what I'm saying? And he is hidden you from some things too, and from some people in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are my God. I'm getting hot. I had to come out my jacket real quick. You know, but because the Holy Ghost is all on me with you. You know, my God, it's so much that I'm picking up in the spirit right now. It's hard to really put it in words, but I'm gonna put it this way. God got you here, despite the opposition, despite who's against you, my God. Despite who the devil is using around you, my God, he got you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
He wants you to know that he got you. And he wants you to keep seeking him. Because, see, the enemy would love to distract us and to keep us from seeking him. You see what I'm saying? Keep us from seeking God. Keep us from making a God and his kingdom a priority. But you keep seeking God here.
Amen.
You keep seeking God here and watch what God do. Matter of fact, God has done some things lately for you, huh? Especially since the last time you was on the segment, the Lord broke some stuff off.
Yes. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, especially since the last time, my God, and the Holy Ghost all over me, so I know it's true.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? The Lord has even done a work in your life since then. You know, and the Lord says that, you know, that which he has begun in you is going to be completed. Amen. God is constantly perfecting you. You know, but understand this. And matter of fact, I think I told you this last time, too, that every prophet walks out his message, huh?
Yeah.
See, you're living out something, you see, and the Lord wants you to be you know, patient in the process. Be patient in the process because what you're gaining is going to be what's needed, you know, to do what God has called you to do. You hear me? Yeah, so constantly, you know, stay before the Lord. You know, you constantly stay before the Lord. You know, and you know, you have a great call upon your life. You know, you really do. And the Lord has told you that you have a call upon your life. You know,
yes.
The Spirit of God, you have a relationship with God. That's one thing I feel that I can say about you, that you have a relationship with God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the Lord does speak to you. Amen. But You know, the Lord wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to be built up. He wants you to be edified, even in the midst of your suffering, even in the midst of your opposition, even in the midst of what you're going through right now, because in this season, what you're going through is going to change. It's going to change.
Amen.
It's going to change what you're experiencing. My God, you don't even know half of the stuff that you're experiencing right now. You don't know half the stuff that's coming up against you right now.
Jesus.
Mm. But the Lord is also, he's going to open your spiritual eyes to see in this season too. Yeah, he's going to open up your eyes. You know, and I'm surprised that the Lord got me speaking so calmly.
Uh-huh.
Amen, because the last couple of times it was crunk. It was a crunk on Talk Show, amen. But seriously though, you know, the Lord is really, really, really giving you some firm, deep roots in this hour. He's rooting you more and more in him. Your roots are going deeper, amen.
Thank you.
And and the Lord is causing you to stand even more so. You know, and he has built you up stronger, you know, since the last time we spoke. You know, but the Lord is really going to make you strong on the inside, because the devil tries to weaken you sometimes too. He tries to weaken your faith, you know, but the devil is a liar, because, you know, whatever God spoke, whatever God promised you, and he has promised you some things, it's sure to come to pass, and it's going to begin to unfold in this season of your life.
Amen.
In this season, the Lord wants you to know, in this season of your life, it's going to begin to unfold. It's going to begin to unfold. Stand on that word here and watch it come to pass.
Thank you. Jesus.
Ah, my Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
My Jesus.
Woman of God, the Lord wants you to know as well the season you are in now. And he said the season that you was in last season, the things that you have been facing, you know, the valley lows, you know, the struggling points, you know, I can't take it points. He said he have elevated you in the spirit because you walked that, and because you trusted in him, he have elevated you. And so much, that's what he wanted me to point out to you, to let you know. Don't expect the same thing. Don't expect you to go through the same thing. You may go through some familiar things, but it's a difference within you because of what you walked on last season. But this is a different season for you as well, too.
Amen.
And those mountains, you're just going to soar. Those valleys, he have exalted those valleys. So he say, be encouraged, woman of God, and you're going to begin to see yourself, the strength that God has placed within your spirit man to conquer and to rise above everything that the enemy throws in your path, he says. And so he said, you're in a different season. Just don't expect the same. Y'all robo sata. He said, expect greater mm-hmm. woman of God
mm-hmm.
from him, because you serve a great God.
Mm-hmm.
We should never expect to stay in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in the fiery, Jesus, furnace. And he have been there with you. And because you applied your faith, you trusted him. And see, that's a reward. He have made you greater on the inside, and the strategies, he said, he have taught you from day to day, from day to day, from day to day. Walk this way, believe this way. Do this, do that. And that's the strength he have placed within you. And he said, just arise and conquer. And don't expect, you know, like, you know, certain times you run into certain things. He said, don't even expect those things. Because sometimes you can put it in your mind and in your heart. Okay, I know this is going to be there. Mm-mm. God said, not so.
Jesus.
Not so. Just walk by the faith that he has placed within you, knowing that you're in a different season. The seed that you have planted. You know, like when you plant those flowers, and you may want a certain type of flower,
mm-hmm.
and you plant that flower, and that's what you expect to come up. He said, expect it. You sowed in love. Oh, Jesus. So he said, you're going to reap in love. You're not going to reap anything else. He said, your season of reaping the envy, the strife, and the confusion. He said, that's over with. It's time for you to reap love. It's time for you to reap that compassion. It's time for somebody. I know I hear the Holy Ghost. God said, you availed yourself. You gave when you couldn't give. You sowed when you couldn't sow. Within your own self.
Mm.
But you pushed. And you pressed, he said. And because you did it, he's rewarding you. And he calling you his faithful servant.
Mm.
And so he said, it's now time for somebody to wrap their arms around you. Jesus. It's time, Ikarabosa. I just hear and I see love. Ikarabasete. All around, Ikarabosa. All around you.
Mm.
Thank you,
Jesus.
And I hear like engagement.
Yes.
But God say, this is the season, my child. Continue to walk by that faith that he has given you. Continue to rise up, God say.
Jesus.
And he said, every morning that you get up, rise. He said, arise, expecting.
My God, Jesus.
Not from a natural man, but from your heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
who's giving you heavenly rewards. Oh, Jesus. Because he said, you delighted yourself in him. Oh, Jesus. He said, you didn't delight yourself in the formal things. He said, you didn't delight yourself. He said, when you was treated unfairly. He said, you didn't throw stone for stone. No, 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 no. A word for word. So the Lord said, you are reaping love in this season. He said, don't expect the blows. Oh, Jesus. Because I see the Lord have put a shield all around you.
Mm.
And every blow that the enemy is going to throw in your way this season, it's not going to even affect you, God said. And he also said you had to take your hands off of some things.
Jesus.
He allowed you to take your hands. He allowed you to sit back and not say anything. He allowed you to see certain things. And not even allow your hands to be in it.
He said, God, that
was him. And he said, you even doubted yourself. Lord, why didn't I do such and such? Why didn't I say such and such? Lord, why? And I know I could have done it, Lord. But God said, that was him. And so he said, release that guilt, that may have made you feel over and over and over, because the devil is a liar, he said. God said he was not going to allow you to get caught up in anything anymore. That was not going to appreciate. You better hit a Holy Ghost. Because in this hour, God is not allowing you to be taken advantage of. Your kindness is not to be taken advantage of. Many people have took your kindness for your weakness, and your love, but in this season, God is highly favoring you among many women of God. Many women of God, he's hiding you, and he's blessing you above and beyond, he said. And you just rise up every day, and you thank your Heavenly Father and expect. And he said, watch his hand move for you. He said, my daughter, watch. Also, I hear the Lord say it's a business as well, too. Different times you have tapped into what's on the inside, and almost perceived it, God said. But it's a deep well. That's Ikorobo said, way deep down on the inside of you that have not been tapped into Ikorobo City. And I see God unlocking that well, Ikorobo City. And you're going to be in that well, Ikorobo City. Now hear the Holy Ghost. God said for the next 3 months, he's going to keep you in that well. Jesus. And whatever you hear, he wants you to write it down. Because it's a vision he's giving you. And after he gives you that vision, he's going to connect you unto people who will assist you to walk the vision out.
Amen.
To connect it where it will prosper. Amen.
Amen.
So be encouraged, woman of God. And you remember, write it down. And wait on that timing. That timing, that season God is calling for it to prosper. Because he's going to order your footsteps in this hour. God is just saying, no more, no more, no more lack. You hear that about Shaytel? No more delay. No more disturbance. No more. It's been an upset in the atmosphere, in the heavens, according to your spiritual inheritance on tonight, God said. And you can expect everything God said that's being spoken to you in this hour by the men and women of God in your lives to come to pass.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chief.
Amen.
A woman of God also, the Lord is showing me. Is someone, I don't know if it, you have a daughter, but I'm picking up like a young lady that can be 12, 13 years old, what have you. Maybe a niece or somebody, but it's someone that's close to you in that age that I'm picking up. But the Lord thy God, do you sense what I'm speaking, woman of God?
I have a 16-year-old daughter here.
You have a 16-year-old. Because I know it's someone that's very close to you as well, too. Rabbi Seke, Robo Seke, Robo Seta. But the Lord is going to allow this individual that I'm speaking about, Rabbi Seke, Robo Seta. Rabbi Seke, Robo Seke, Robo Seta. And I pick up fellowship, ikorobo city. I pick up closeness, rabba seko robo city, rabba seko robo city, robo sata. See, the enemy have been pulling in a certain area. This individual, this person, like I said, could be your daughter, could be urobo city. The enemy have been pulling her into an area God is not allowing her to go into. Rama city, God will not allow her to walk according to the world ways. He have blocked and he have stopped certain from her connecting to certain people in the world. Things that you don't even know about, woman of God, God have blocked it and stopped it. God have paved that path, and the Lord says she will walk on that pathway. And God just said, pretty much, don't be concerned about your family as well.
Jesus.
As well. Rabbi Sete.
Thank you.
Rabbi Sete. You have sons as well?
I do.
Yeah, the Lord is showing me that as well. Rabbi Sete, Robo Sete. And the Lord is showing me with one with four as education. Rabbi Sete. And God said, you can expect that area. He could Robo Sete to get better, God said. To get, you can expect that area to get better, the education, the grades. Rama seko robo seke robo sete. Rama seko robo sete robo sete. Robo seke robo seke robo sete. Rama sete robo sete. And this particular one, for us with the education, the enemy likes to fight him. Iko robo sete. Like with a spirit of robo sete, nervousness, anxiety, God say. But the Lord say a spirit of peace will come upon him. And he shall be in perfect peace. And you know how they labelize those children, ADD and all this and that. God say pretty much it's just a spirit of torment. Ha robo sete, and it's generational, you know. Robo sete, robo sete. But by Jesus' stripes, he is healed. Robo sete, robo sete, robo sete. God is just providing too as well, woman of God, for your family. He's providing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Robo sete. You make yourself available to God. You trust and he is doing the same for you. God is a faithful God. God is a God when you stand on his promises, God is that God that he make bet on his promises. He do not lie. He's not like a, you know, more shaker robo Satan. He's not like someone that you may put your trust in. And it don't come through. God is not that type of God. He's a God that, when he speak it, and when we read it to her, and you believe it and you receive it, he's a God that where you obtain it, where it manifests. And that's where he's placing you in your manifestation season.
Thank you, Lord.
God is just doing so much in your life, like the apostle said earlier. Like, apostle, I'm right where you at here, and there's so much going on in the spirit with the woman of God.
Yeah.
But all of it is good, woman of God, I promise you. All of it is so good. And the Lord is just allowing you to know where you at in the spirit. The things in the eyes. Things in the natural may give you a different perception of where you're at. So God allowing you to know where you're at in the spirit, so you can expect what's in heaven for you, and it shall manifest here on earth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Hey, thank you, Lord. Awesome. Jesus.
Rabbi said to Robosata. And also Robosa. Is Brother Will still on the phone?
Will had to leave.
Okay, he had to leave. Okay.
Yeah. Thomas, you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's another word for him also.
Yes, Lord God. What Rabbi said to.
Amen.
God say it's a shifting. And I see Chateau Robo Sete. Rabbi Siko Robo Seke, Robo Seke, Robo Sete. Rabbi Seke, Robo Seke, Robo Sete. But it's all good. I see Rabbi Sete in the realm of the spirit above. Ah, Jesus. And the Lord said, if you can just reach unto the spirit of God and begin to pour down, because he's showing me the realm that's above you. And oh, the realm is so great that's above you. For some reason, God is showing me, one of your hands have a white glove on it. That represents purity. Your right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rim that's above you. He's showing me. Ya Robo City. Yo Robo City. He sha Robo City. Harabo Shata Robo City. You're going to establish order, says the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
That's your makeup, even in the natural. You know, sometimes we don't understand who we are in Christ, why we do certain things, why life is the way it is in our lives. But God said you're going to establish order. And you have this certain persona about yourself, the way you carry yourself. But God said you have allowed yourself to tap into the spirit. You're further in life than what you expect. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus. And all the Lord pretty much wants you to do is keep pushing. Keep pushing. Not picking up something for as education. with you? Do you desire, or are you in school, or do you desire to get more sorobo?
I was going back to school, and I had stopped, and I was also going to get my associates, and I had stopped. So, and I know God wants me to go back. He's been getting on me about it. I just hadn't moved. So.
Now, who is that, Sybil?
This is Sybil.
Okay. Now, I was, and God could be saying that for you as well, but I was seeing more Brother Thomas.
Yes.
Is he still on the phone? Do you
yes.
desire to go to school, get more schooling, or are you in schooling?
No, I've just been desiring to go back to school.
Yeah.
My wife has been, like, you know, pushing me to go ahead and get a degree.
Yeah, but what the Lord is saying pretty much for you is, Robo Satan, he said, just do it. Like Nike, just do it.
Amen.
Just do it. He's going to open so many doors. And what the Lord is doing, he's redeeming the times for your life. He's redeeming what you lost to your Robo Satan. For it's the timing, the time frame, and he say, "Orobo sata, you're gonna run through it. Your education, quick, and he's gonna establish you, and he's gonna set you up. I see, orobo shete, orobo shete, orobo shete. I even see when he set you up and established, you're gonna be over." God said you would never be under. You would always be over because of what's up on your life. And what's on your life, what you wear in the spirit, is to assist you in the natural as well. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the Lord is showing me you, it's like you're in this boardroom. And I can see many people that's sitting around a table. But God is showing me you're standing up. And it's like you have, Jesus, like you had a billboard and you're pointing to certain things. You're gonna put together different organizations. God is going to set you up, I hear, like in the government system. You're going into the government system. You're going to work with big organizations. And I just see, like, business. God is showing me business. Much business. You're going to work with people like, God is showing me, like, in New York and different places, like all over the world, you're going to be in contact with them. God is just showing me much, much, oh, Jesus, business assignment that's upon your life in the government system that he's going to place your feet there for the kingdom of God. Don't look at Ikaraba Sata. Where you at right now? Because God is getting ready to do your finances, to your life, everything. God is getting ready to change everything. Where you're not gonna have lack anymore. You feel what I say?
Amen.
No more lack. And also, the Lord said he's gonna make it so plain to you, and it's gonna be so much a structure. In your life, a lot of times when you're called to set structure and order, you know, sometimes your life can be scattered. And, you know, you've been kind of like trying to find the pieces, pick up the pieces. Okay, this go here, that go there. I need to do this, I need to do that. And kind of like not getting nowhere with certain things. But God is going to rearrange all of that and put everything in place and in position. Where you will have a clear perspective where you're going at in life. Amen.
Amen.
But I say to you, you be blessed and you be encouraged and you reach up into the heavens, because it's an open rim that sits over your head because of who you are. And you get your inheritance. Get your inheritance. God has made you to conquer, and don't let nothing conquer you. I mean, don't let nothing conquer you. Put it in your mind. Put it in your heart that you can do it through Christ. And don't ever say, "Is you know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes time will make things seem like it's so hard, but don't ever say, you know what I'm saying? It seemed like so much a lost time, you know. No, God said no. The time is now. And move in the timing of God.
Amen.
And
amen. Amen. Father, is you still there? The phone, I think a phone hung up.
The phone had hung up.
Okay. All right. You still there, though?
Amen. I'm here.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, she kind of, she hit that nail right on the head there, bro. You know, I know you personally, so she spoke a lot of things that was true. Prophetess Green, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Wow, okay. We have Prophetess Tina on the line, and you know, it's a pleasure to have you. You have anything that you would like to add or speak, or if the Lord has given you something?
I'm sorry, man of God, were you speaking to me?
Yes, Prophetess Tina.
God bless you. Amen. I'm muting in and out only because I have noise in the background and the children. But God bless you. I'm just on the line listening. Amen. And I'm being fed. So if you see me coming in and out, it's because I'm trying to block the noise so that you won't hear the noise in the background. But God bless you. Amen. I'm truly enjoying it. God bless you and thank you.
Amen. Amen. The woman of God, the Lord have a word that he want to release unto you. I don't know if you still there.
Yes, I am.
Okay. The word, one word he's given to me for you, overflow. That overflow in every area of your life. You know, sometimes he say we hit those dry spells. And we can be in those deserts at times. But I see the Spirit of God. I see water is beginning to proceed in your situation.
Mm.
And he said, overflow. He got rabbi sick. Abundance. He got robo sick. More than enough. He got robo sato robo sick. Robo sick.
Mm.
He said, enough is enough, my child. And he said, you have cast your cares upon me. And I, the Spirit of the Lord, is showing up in your season. And he said, the drought is over. He said, yes. You are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. He got a robo-seeking. Robo-seeking. And you shall see. He got a robo-seeking. Man shall extend his hand unto you. And he said, you shall know the hand that man extends unto you is the hand of God. He got a robo-seeking. Rama seke robo sata robo sete. Hanamo seke mama sata. He said, I have been with you, my daughter. Hiko robo sete. Through it all. Rama sata, you trusted in me. You stayed. Hiko robo sete. You prayed and you believed. Hiko robo sete. Within 3 days, Hiko robo sete. God is about to manifest manifest some things for you within 3 days. I see three particular things you've been pulling on God. You've been petitioning in the courts, the Lord said. And within 3 days, you're going to see it manifest. God say it is not a season for everybody else in your life. It's a season for you. This season is a season. Say, Robosata. He said, you done spoke the word. He could have you done prayed everybody else through. You done walked everybody else through. God said, you done believe for everybody else. He could have And God said, this is your season. He could have Ramosata, God said, no more breakdowns. Hikorobosata, no more mishaps. Hikorobosata, Ramasikorobosata, this is your season. Hikorobosata, he said, I am arising in your season. And he said, I'm sending the fire through the phone lines. Strengthen you. He said, I'm sending the fire of the Holy Ghost to overtake you in this hour. He said, I am strengthened. He said, this season, woman of God, I'm holding your hands up for you. This season, you're not going to have to worry about, Lord, who I got, or who's standing with me on the wall. He said, you have seen many hands and many blows be against you, but God said, not so, my daughter. He said, I will make every blow that rose his head up against you stumble and fall in this season. God said, oh, Jesus, God is moving. God is moving. God is moving for you. But God, in this season, he said, touch not. He said, those that place, they turn upon you. He's making them and come back and bless you, woman of God. Kika Robosata. Robaseke Robosete. Oh, Lord, I just see angels encamping around you. I see angels encamping around your home. I see the angel of the Lord. He's coming in, and he's subduing everything in your home that tried to rise up against you. God said, not so. Not in this season. I will not allow it to torment my daughter. I'm giving her peace, peace, peace in every area of her life. Oh, Jesus, when he come upon you, woman of God, he could have lost that. He could have lost that. Riding down from heaven. I see a fire. Raining down from heaven upon you. Oh, you're blazing. You're blazing. He's strengthening you. He's strengthening you. And you're rising above the flood waters. He's elevating. Every valley in your life. You're swollen over the mountains. Oh, I see you releasing healing, healing, healing in your vessel. Healing, healing in your life, God said. Ramasheka Ramosa. Oh, he said, let Zion praise his holy name. He could have almost said, he could have almost said, you're 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 almost said,
You getting ready to shake hell, God say. He cut it all shot because of what hell put you through.
Yes, God.
Hell is getting ready to shake around you. Getting ready to make the devil tremble. He's
going
to tremble. When you walk on the foundations of the earth, God says, oh, Jesus, you're getting ready to get him anxiety. You're getting ready to make him nervous, God say. You're getting ready to make him loose.
Yes.
Everything that belongs to you and everything that everybody that you love, God say. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. You see, I hear Job. He cut a double shot. You taught my finances. You taught my family. You even taught my body. But God said, after a season, he rose up Job from his stricken state. And when he rose him up, he was better than blessed than he was before he went down, God said. Oh, Jesus. See, God got to show some doctoring demons in your life. From Asato Robosa, the God that you serve, the God that you depend on. See, everybody, from Mashata, everybody ain't seeking God.
Yeah,
Mashata Robosata, like you God here, Robosa. Everybody ain't searching God like you searching God. Everybody. You really mean my God, he say. Everybody don't know the God that you serve. He cut it up on Shata. And I just sing a praise. You're breaking out to a praise, God. God say you're breaking out. So you've been here, you're the most shata. You're the most shata. Some things been laid down on you, on the inside of you. And God said you've been in travail. He cut it up, most shata. But you're finna see the beauty of your suffering, woman of God.
Yes.
Mashata, the beauty, of everything that you've been walking through, God say, oh, Jesus. He cut it up, most shata. See, it's the ones who stayed, the ones who prayed, the ones who believe in God.
Amen.
So this is your season.
Yes, God.
This is your season. Yes, he said, walk in your appointed season.
Yes, God.
Amen. You're the most shut
up. Jesus.
Amen. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. And when you pray about it, God say he hear your prayer because he say you are righteous. Ashata robosata. And your prayers are availing. Oh, Jesus, they're availing much. And I see he just answering. He getting every last one of them. Every time you see him, set him up, Hell, Jesus. And I see the heavens opening up and moving back the rim of darkness. Because you done tore down the gate. Hell, God.
Come on.
You done tore it down, God say. And now it is your time to receive the fruit of your labor.
Yes.
Ramasiko robo si robo sata robo sata. Here robo si robo si. Ramasi si robo si. Ramasi robo si. See you on Ramasati robo sata. And that book, you're going to write. He got it about you. I'm going to make it plain. He robo si. Oh, Jesus. And it's going to be an anointing of your testimony. He could have both seen. Because it's been tried. It's been proven, God say. And living
living well shall flow out of your belly. Ramashata, and it shall come upon, you know, Ramashata, the people. You know, Ramashata, and it shall go on the press. He cut it about sata, and it shall go on the shelves. He cut it about sata, you know, Ramashata, you know, Ramashata, and it shall go to the nation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Man, can I say something, man of God or woman of God? Is it okay if I say something?
Go ahead.
Amen. I had a room at one time, and I usually don't come into the rooms, and I only, you know, I'll come in and I'll look, and I only go where the Holy Ghost tell me to go, and a lot of times I don't understand it all. Amen. And so I came into the room, and I just, you know, was listening to everything, and then, woman of God, I tell you, you know, I knew God had something for me. I don't go seeking nothing, but when God tell you to do it, you just be obedient, and you sit there and you listen and you wait to hear what the word of the Lord is for your life. Amen. And woman of God, I tell you, when you begin to speak and you talked about Job, and when you said that about Job, I immediately shifted to my mother, because my mother is going through a Job experience right now. And woman of God, I tell you, we pray the gates of death off of her life when the enemy tried to kill her, and I commanded the spirit of death to loose her right now. She had 4 strokes, a triple bypass surgery. She has a trach right now in her throat. She is on a feeding tube. My mother has not walked since August. Amen. And I tell you, woman of God, the angels, and when you start talking about the angels, my mother always told me, she said, every time you minister, I see the angels. That every time you move and you flow from here to here, I see the angels around you right there. And you just really spoke. I don't want to go into everything, amen, but I received what you said, especially and even the fire, amen, because I had a dream of fire falling on my shoulder, and my whole house was on fire, amen. And I'm telling you, and God said, that is the anointing that I have placed on your life. Amen. And the backlash. See, woman of God, I'm like a soldier, because when the backlash come, I know how to tear the gates of hell down.
Hey, hey, hey.
I don't let nothing stagnate. See, I'm like, yeah, the truth. I jump over a truth. Amen. See, I don't let all of that stuff bother me, because I got to work to do what God has called me to do. Amen. And I just want you guys, all you men and women on the line, to just pray for me, because one thing, I am an intercessor, and the enemy at one point tried to shut my mouth, because every time we go into prayer, we get victory after victory after victory, and it's only because of the word of God. It ain't nothing that I do, but it is the word of God, amen, in my belly to open the mouth and to declare the glory of God and to speak healing and to speak life, amen, and that's what God has called me to do. And the enemy at one point tried to silence my mouth, amen, to where I would not be able to open my mouth to say anything, amen. So I just want you all to keep me in prayer, woman of God. God bless you, amen. Thank you so much for being obedient and speaking, oh my God, as God has given you to speak. God bless you.
God bless you too, woman.
Amen, amen.
Wait on a phone call. You're going to receive a phone call. God is going to begin to cancel some debt for you as well, too. A phone call. Wait on that phone call. Because
yes,
you're ready to get a phone call.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
amen.
And also, too, while you was talking, a scripture came to my, I might not be quoting it word for word, but it talks about how God will purify you or refine you in the furnace of affliction. See, a lot of times, when we go through stuff, you know, and God allows us to go through stuff, it's not to necessarily destroy us.
That's
right.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right. But it's to purify us. And see, sometimes God would allow us to go through things and see things, you know, and experience things to show us that we're not exactly where we need to be in Him.
Yes.
I can remember when I was going through you know, a very hard time in my life and a very hard process. You know, the Lord began to show me that, you know, I wasn't as humble as I thought I was. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready like I thought I was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I wasn't who I thought I was. You see what I'm saying? I was not in that place.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But even through that, the Lord turning the mirror on me,
mm-hmm.
I just accepted it and asked the Lord to remove it. You see what I'm saying? But through all my affliction and through all my mashing and my crushing, see, what you've been experiencing is a crushing, because understand that the anointing can only come through a crushing.
Yes,
it's a price. It's a price for the anointing. There's no such thing as a microwave anointing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So many folks think that they are at a certain place and they're not.
Mm-mm.
You see what I'm saying? And they have not paid the price.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And then we also got to be careful too that we are not that we don't get to a place where the anointing that we think that the little bit of anointing that we have now, we get too high and mighty with that because then God will shut that down too. You see what I'm saying? But what you've been experiencing is a crushing. You see what I'm saying? And it's part of your process. You are still on the potter's wheel. You know, and the Lord is still continually molding and shaping you, and he's teaching you. You know, his ways, and he's teaching you what's of him, what's not of him. He's giving you wisdom, too, to know what to do in certain situations. You see what I'm saying? He's giving you wisdom. And there's some things that you went through recently. You see what I'm saying? The Lord is telling me. Some things that you went through recently. You see what I'm saying? And that which you went through was designed to crush you, but God still got purpose for your life. That's why it was not able to overtake you. You see? It was not able to overtake you. You see what I'm saying? So you know, this is your hour of refining. And, you know, God is continually to refine you, because, you know, there's a place, you know what I'm saying, that he's trying to take you to in him. Amen. And you good as long as you stay on that potter's wheel. A lot of people get off the potter's wheel, you know, they be like, God is rough. You know, I've been through this, I've been through that. Lord, when am I going to stop going through? But, you know what I'm saying, you press through. You know what I'm saying? You press through. I had to press through, and you know, the Lord brought me out of that, and, you know, bringing me through something else. You know, but the thing is, he's bringing you through. You see what I'm saying? A lot of people want to get out. You see what I'm saying? When God's trying to take you through, and even when you go through, it's a pressing, it's a suffering. You see what I'm saying? So you continue to stand, and there's some things that the Lord has promised you too, and you know, those things are going to begin to unfold too in your life in this season too, because, you know, there's a lot of things that God has given you to do, but you don't have the means to do it. You know, but through your process and through you continuing to stand and everything like that, God's going to give you the resources and the wisdom to be able to do those things that he has called you to do in this season. You know, and a lot of things also have been used to try to distract you and detour you from what God has placed before you too. You know, I really feel like there's some things that the enemy has tried to set up around you, you know, to distract you and to detour you. But, you know, God is going to begin to remove even the remainder of those things out of your life. Amen.
I want to say on that right there, as far as the one thing I can hear, the Spirit of God. That we amen. Because God, there's no big eyes, no little eyes, and no greater, no less, amen. And as far as the distraction, that right there, that is something I think when it comes to me going into when my son got into what he got into, and that's why I said to the woman of God that was on the phone, it's been victory after victory, because I can spot, I can, when the enemy comes, what does the Bible say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard up against him. So when we see the enemy, amen, God has given every believer, I believe, in the body of Christ a keen sense of discernment to see. And
yeah.
So God already gives a strategy because the strategy is already set. So when the enemy comes, distracts you. You cannot be distracted, amen, because God has given you the wisdom to know how to maneuver in the realm of the spirit. So when the enemy comes, you have crushed him already, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thank God for what, and when you said, one thing about what God has even did with me, even when we had the ministry, I want to share this word with someone. No lack. I have never lacked in ministry. Never one time. Not one time. Man of God, I tell you, when I opened that building up, and I'm telling you, it was just us two and us few, we never lacked on rent. We never lacked on gas. We never lacked. We never lacked. And see, that's one thing that God has put me in a position to be able to walk by faith. And when I think a woman of God said something about trusting God, I was trying to write everything down. Usually I'll take everything because I can go back on that word. And that's why I tell people in the body of Christ, you should not be lacking anything if you're trusting God for everything that he's called you to do. And so that's where we walk at. We walk totally by faith, trusting God for everything. And man and woman of God, when I say everything, I have eight children. I have never lacked with them. God has always provided. Woman of God, you were on key when you said a debt. There's a debt that I have been saying, God, okay, there's nothing I can do about this. I give it to you. Amen. And so I am trusting God to clear that debt because God knows I did everything human. Come on, now we got to obey the laws of the land. So I made the phone calls, did what I had to do. And so now, here, God, it belongs to you. There's nothing, and I know God, woman of God, when you spoke that, I know God can work it out. I'm not even worried about it because we are not to walk in word. We are not to fear. We are to know that our daddy is going to take care of everything. So, man of God, never lack, always victory. And as an intercessor, for even just praying for my family and my children, it has all, God has showed himself victory after victory after victory. That's all I ever see. Amen. And I thank God for that. It's just sitting in the presence of him. And when you talked about the crushing, I ministered one time and sitting in the wilderness is a joyous place. Why? Because in the midst of the wilderness, you should be praising God right there where you are because you know deliverance is nigh. It is right there. So, man of God, when you start saying the crushing, oh, believe, it's a joyous place to be there because there's the oil that dripped just as it dripped down from Abraham's beard. That's what God is doing to us in the body of Christ to get a fresh oil, fresh revelation of what he's doing in this hour in our lives. God bless you, man of God.
Amen. Amen. Truly, truly, you know, the word that the Lord ministered today was a pretty much an on time word, you know, and prophetess, you wasn't really you had just got on not too long ago, but what we was talking about, and I'm just gonna brief you real shortly, you know, on it. The Lord was just talking about how we have an identity in the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? And the reason why you know, us as a people, you know, we go and we follow everything that everybody does. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like every big bishop and you know every little style and stuff the world come out with. You know, we so quick to follow that is because we have no identity. But see, our identity has to be in the kingdom, not in the church, in the kingdom. You know, the thing about it is, you know, we become so churched that we overlook the kingdom when the Bible specifically tells us that the kingdom of God should be a priority in our lives. He says, seek first. That means first. First is priority. You know, above everything else, you seeking material things above everything else, seek the kingdom. And then the Bible says that when you seek the kingdom first, then all these things will be added unto you. And then what things? You know, further up, that scripture was basically describing your basic necessities, everything that you need. You seek first the kingdom of God, then you won't have nothing to worry about. You see, and we got into, you know, what the kingdom actually was. I really don't have time to really, you know, recap everything, or else I start all over again.
I can listen to the recording. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Lord really revealed some things, and there was a lot of things that I wanted to say. I didn't get a chance to say it, but I'm gonna say it next time. Amen. But I would like to Lord, I said welcome to you. I would like to thank you all, you know, for coming out today, man. I thank Prophetess Green and, you know, Prophetess Tina Thomas, my boy. You know what I'm saying? Thank
Amen.
You, bro. I'm gonna tell you, me and Thomas, man. That I call him Big Brother. He's just like my big brother, man. You know, he's really been there for me. You know, and we've been there for each other. And I've known him now for a couple of years now. And you know, him and I are very close. You know, we're like brothers. So, you know, he's been a blessing in my life. You know, and God has taken him to great places. Amen. But you know, with everything being said, you know, I'm gonna just close us out in prayer. Amen. Y'all ready to close out
in
prayer?
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the night, Father. I thank you for the word, Father, that you revelated and you taught us, Father. And I thank you, Father, for the word of the Lord that went forth, Father, from the ones that was on the line and even the ones that had to get off early, Heavenly Father. And I just ask, Father, that you would just continue to just increase us, Father, continue to give us revelation, knowledge concerning things of the kingdom, Father. And, Father, cause us, Father, to go forth in demonstration of your kingdom, Father, going into all the world, Father, and preaching the gospel and demonstrating your kingdom, Father. And Father, I just thank you, Father, that our lives in this season will no longer be the same, Father, that we won't be the same people that we were, Father, in last season. But in this season, you're doing a new thing, Father. And, Father, I'm even reminded of the scripture where you said, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, for behold, I will do a new thing. Shall you not perceive it in this hour? And Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Father, for the new thing that you're doing in this hour. It's not new to you, but it's new to us, Father, because you said nothing is new under the sun, Father. So I just thank you even now that you are causing your people to go forth. You're preparing your people to go forth to a dying world, to reach a dying nation. And, Father, and to present, and, Father, and proclaim your kingdom to the dying generation, Father. And I thank you that the generation is going to be saved because of the kingdom, Father, that you're calling us to establish in this hour. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We bless your name, Father. All of the above, you just everything to us, Father. And you're just so good, Father. And always keep us mindful, Father, to seek your kingdom first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Get ready to close this thing out now for the end of the recording. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for coming on here.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless y'all. Love
y'all. Love
you, Apostle.
All right. Love you, too.
To say thank you to Apostle and Prophet.
All right, look, I love you.
I got back on to say thank you.
Amen, amen. God bless you. I'll thank you for coming on. Who this, Sybil?
This is Sybil. I had logged out twice. I wanted to come back on and say thank you. I knew my minutes was running out, so I wanted to come back just to say thank you. I didn't want to think I was going to get my prophecy and ran with it. So I wanted to say thank you.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Amen.
Okay, God bless you.
Amen. All right. God bless y'all. And Thomas, I'm going to call you tomorrow, man.
All right, LeBron. All right,
man.
Love you, too.
All right, man. Be blessed. All right, bye-bye.